have, I'm going to start rolling just because of
that. And you know what? And you know what I do? I always do the backup voice memo in case of something. Just in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Just so we have the spare.
Of course. And now I'm going to turn this on silent.
Yeah. This is also, do we want this for Breeze?
And we may not be able to sit here the whole 2 hours, yeah. So.
They'll let us, yeah. Check this out.
Yeah, I guess we have to.
Leave it off, right?
Right?
Yeah.
I'm fine. We don't need it.
This helps, right?
I mean, that kind of thing. You hear that? You know?
But that makes it funnier.
This is what we're doing.
Makes it more New York.
I think this is what we're doing, right?
Okay.
Okay. I'm in New York City with Zach Danziger. Zach Danziger.
It's the noise of a straw.
Well, there's a lot of noise here today.
No, we're on the streets, yeah. Well, we're not on the streets. We'll have a photo to show people where we are.
We'll take a photo. We're in a... It's a COVID booth, isn't it? That's
what this is. I think it's a holdover. Yes.
This is a COVID booth.
It's a holdover COVID booth, yes.
That's what we're doing.
Yes.
We thought... He spotted it, and he thought this might be a nice recording booth on the street. But you can definitely hear the sounds of New York City.
But I think it's better than if we were actually on the street, on the street.
We were looking for a stoop.
See a stoop.
We like to say stoop.
We like to stoop to those levels. But the problem is that I sensed up here, we're in the Upper East Side. But yeah. It's called a Turtle Bay, a Murray Hill. It's above Murray Hill. It's a Turtle Bay.
Is this Upper East Side or is this the beginning of Upper East Side? Where does Upper East Side begin?
I think above 59th, don't you?
That's what I would go with.
Yeah.
So we're not the Upper East Side.
Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay. What are you, a turtle? Get off your back. Hey,
exactly.
Hey, yeah. Cheers, man.
Yeah, now...
With our... Flat whites and what
do there's we, always coffee. So,
what are you drinking today?
Do you know that I'm usually anti oat milk? And again, not to just right into Rantville.
Go ahead.
But let's do it. Right?
That's what we do.
Yeah, right into Rantville. There are very there are chain places now and pretty decent ones. Blue Bottle, Stumptown. Mm-hmm. Do you know that oat milk is the new default at those places?
No. What are you talking about?
So basically, hey, I'll have a flat white. Hey, I'll have a cortado. I'll have a latte. If you don't say anything. You're getting it with oat milk. You have to actually specify and jump out of the box to go, whole milk, please? And I swear, they go, whole or oat? Because it sounds the same. Whole oat, whole milk, oat milk. It's like a routine, and it's not a routine.
How did you find this out?
I found out the hard way by going to Stumptown, ordering a cortado, and going, man, the beans don't taste quite like they usually. I'm like, no, it's oat milk. That's what's going on. I return to Stumptown, and I go... And they're like, yeah, look, you see on the wall it says oat milk is the default. And it's like a little writing on their wall. I'm like...
The fine print.
I got to read that oat milk is the default? How about if you went to a pizza place and it was like gluten-free crust is the default? Specify regular crust if you want. But if you order a slice of pizza, it's going to be a gluten-free pizza.
We're going down a bad road.
You order a burger in a burger place? It's an impossible burger unless you specify, no, I want the meat burger. Listen, I'm all for oat milk. I'm off, right?
Sad.
You can order oat milk. And here's what the
sad
punchline
times,
is.
Sad times.
This is the punchline. This is oat milk now. And I'll tell you why.
You're doing oat milk
yeah.
by choice.
Yeah, Mr. No, don't like oat milk. Because when I have an iced drink, I feel like the iced drinks are going to have more milk in them in a weird way. Like, and that's a lot of milk to drink because I've had a normal cappuccino this morning. To have yet another like loaded milk with a little shot of espresso. So that's when I go oat milk and it's tolerable. I don't prefer oat milk at all.
I didn't think I wouldn't have pegged you as an oat milk kind of guy. But here you are. You've come around.
You just never say never. You gotta, you know, like...
You're open. Oh, the open-minded.
Yeah.
Sacked.
Yeah, you can never say never.
Now, by the way, I did not do the research. I meant to do that. I meant to go into the files, as it were. We have the file room. The I'd hit that headquarters and check how many times have you been on? Because I know we've joked, we make the five timers club,
right, so,
and I think it was. I want to say it's been six times.
No, this would be six at the bare minimum, and it might be seven.
I think you did six, and this is seven. That's why I'm saying I don't know. I'm a little confused. I didn't check. Listeners will chime in. I have no doubt.
Okay,
they'll post.
Oh, I have doubts, but that's all right.
Okay, but we got you a five-timers jacket. I know that.
Right. No.
And you're the only one. It's lonely in there.
Sateen.
You're the only. So it's very lonely in that back room.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say lonely at the top. Cause I'm not sure if that puts me to the top, but
I was gonna say
lonely in that room.
I think I can get Babco or Lefave in quick. You know, I can get that happening quick.
But they're not gonna get the six or seven that quickly.
No.
No.
No. But at least they can get the five jacket, and at least you'll have some company.
Thank you.
In the lounge.
Very.
As it were.
Yes. Very cool.
So you're not completely alone.
I'm
in
with
there.
You. I'm
you know
with
what
you.
I mean?
Yes, I appreciate that.
But it's good to have you back because we I think we've established it's been almost 5 years. That's
right. Yes, you're right. Like at least four.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy that happened.
Well, crazy that all your families had to wait this long.
Well, the show right. is where the hell was the show? I mean, let's be real. I mean,
well, and I've always urged you to keep that show chugging along and plugging along.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
He knew best, folks.
I tried.
He did try.
We got Dave back, and you now know how much people were missing this. You know it.
Well, we'll find
you
out.
You deserve it. No, that's good. I'm here to just like, I don't know what I'm going to do to your fan base from here, but yeah.
I appreciate that we got to do this because, by the way, I don't live in New York.
No.
Anymore.
No.
You don't live in New York anymore.
Mm.
Is this true? I've heard things.
Yeah, you're hearing it.
We're hearing things.
Oh, it's Natuzzi Ice. That's a very famous ice company. Natuzzi.
Interesting.
Yeah, good shit.
This episode is brought to you by Natuzzi Ice.
Yes, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a rocky road.
In the blue.
There it is.
In the blue, right? In the blue.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, Cartman.
You missed it.
I missed it.
So go ahead. Talent.
I do not really live in New York right now.
Not really.
I was apartment hunting and studio space hunting and potentially a house that had both capabilities in L.A. Because I want to give L.A. another go. And I've done this before. But this is, for the record, everybody, the first time I think I've actually penned wet ink on a lease in L.A. I've been living out there on and off since 1990. It's the first time I inked it. Here's my lease.
It's official.
Well, it's as official as it's ever been, but it's still not official. Big deal. It's 1 year that'll go by, and then I'll assess.
How long did it take? You've been going back. I know you've been doing the back and forth thing. How long did it take you to find a place?
This time?
Yeah.
Well, how long could it have taken, or how long did it take me?
How long did it take Zach Danziger to find a place he was content with?
6 weeks.
And are you really content with it, or did you finally settle on something?
Well, you're always going to settle in life, aren't you?
Yeah, basically.
No, you're not. I'm as eager and confident that I'm going to really like this place, and it came from the 6 weeks of not taking the place after the 2 weeks I saw, or the 3 weeks, or the four, and just going. My motto in life is, if you're not happy after all the work you've done, there's nobody to blame. You know what I mean? You did what you had to do. So if I can't stand this apartment, if I took this apartment after 2 weeks and didn't look around at other places, I would have said, you know what? I didn't do my homework. If this place ain't happening now, boy, did I do my homework. What more? I can't beat myself up. Doesn't mean it's going to work. I think it is, right?
Right.
But if it doesn't, you throw your arms up in the air. You go, it wasn't for lack of trying.
Right. Right.
So I'm content.
But you looked all over L.A.
All over.
Yeah.
All over. And I realized, I got to watch what I say here.
No, let's do it. Come on.
This is, you know.
Let's cut loose.
Right. We all know L.A. is not a real city, okay? And anyone who can, you know, we can prove this. We can expose this. I actually like downtown L.A., all right? And it's because it feels like it could one day be a city. Do you know what I mean? I'll go out as far as to say if they can really spruce it up a hair more, right? It's going to be a hip city. And I mean a city. You can just live within those city, walk around. It's got so much nice stuff going there. It just isn't completed. The blanks need to be filled in.
Well, because you can't walk. I mean, I know right. what you mean. You're a New York City yeah. guy. Walk around. The walk around vibe.
Even if you wanted to walk from here, right?
Yeah.
Kips Bay's downtown.
Downtown, yeah.
28th Street.
That's right.
30th Street. Movie theater there. Anyway, you want to walk, not that you would, but you could, from here to Williamsburg, from here to Prospect Park in Brooklyn. There is not a boring stretch between the two points.
No.
There's always something, you know what I mean? So the typical thing about L.A. is like if you want to, and let's talk in our language, L.A. language.
Yeah.
You want to park and meet each other at a coffee place, let's say, I don't know, on 3rd Street and whatever, in Melrose District or West Hollywood, and you can't find parking, so you go like to a side street on like Holloway Drive or whatever, and you're like in a more residential, you're just like, I gotta walk fucking 2 blocks to the coffee shop. I gotta park here. It's 2 blocks away. I gotta walk 2 blocks now? New York, I walked up here from the village and didn't even notice it. You know, because it's there's stimuli, there's stuff happening. Yeah. It's something at every turn you can look. I don't want to park my car 50 feet or more from the restaurant that I'm going in LA, because it's like I gotta walk.
So true.
It's so true.
And valet parking.
Oh, I ain't giving it to the valet.
No, but that's a thing. I'm saying it's a shtick there. They don't do that here. There's no valet parking.
Valet parking.
This is a great place, and we like to walk. I know what you mean, but you don't walk from Hollywood to West Hollywood. Or
you don't.
Or you're not going to walk to Culver City. It's not going to
happen. Right. Or you're in Atwater Village, and you're going to walk to like Highland Park. No, you're not.
It's not going to happen.
You're not.
I think Terry Bozzio covered that, didn't he? Walking in L.A. with the missing persons.
Did he really?
They made a song. Nobody walks in L.A.
Nobody walks in L.A. And that was very early. It was like an 80s or 90s.
Do you know Terry Bozzio, by the way?
No, I don't.
I'm surprised, because you pretty much know everybody. You've been around a long time.
Well, don't date me.
No, but it's true. I mean, I would have thought you would have met Terry Bozzio. That's all. I just thought you would have met him by now.
I would have liked to.
That's interesting to me. That's all. Because we did mention before, we jump around here, by the way.
We do.
And I did threaten there could be no drum talk, but we do got to get something out of the way. Yes. You played with Hiram Bullock.
You found that out moments ago.
I did. I never knew that.
Now, do you know where we were when we discovered this information?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You do it.
Well, I want to edit this out, because I don't know. Am I giving you credit for having some familiarity with that place, or am I not?
Go ahead.
You took me to a place that you knew pretty well.
Yeah.
And I knew of not that enclave of it. We're walking, right? First it started, you want to get a light bite, you want to get a bacon, egg, and cheese New York style. And I had eaten already, and I didn't care, right?
The bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll, classic.
On a roll.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll walk to a bagel place for you here, I'll get you one of these. And we just happen to walk in a certain route, and you say, wait a minute, Smith and Walensky. So I'm like, yeah, stay cozy. Because you ever been there? I go, I've been to the... He's like, I used to work there a long time ago. Come on.
You didn't believe... I could tell you were a little skeptical.
I
told Zach I used to work at Smith & Walensky. Yeah. It's a steakhouse.
It's a legendary steakhouse.
Legendary.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't believe you. It's just more like, wow, I wouldn't peg you as like, not like you're not telling the truth, but wow, I can't believe it.
And he was like, what did you do there?
What did you do there?
I was a waiter. I waited tables. That's right.
And you had, what was great about what Dave is, he had stories, and you know, we won't go into great stories about the glory days of Smith & Walensky.
Yeah.
And then you spot somebody there.
Well, we go in, and I was trying to figure out when it was. I guess, and the guy, it was like 24, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And go ahead, so he's the manager now.
He's the manager. And you look over, and you're like, I think I know him.
Yeah.
And we're talking to the waiter there, was very great, and he's like, yeah, that's Ryan.
Yeah.
That's Ryan. And you're like, he was a kid when I walked.
I said, he was a fellow waiter. He was a kid.
And
I said, I don't think he'd remember me.
Right.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he approaches you, and what does he say?
He said, Tattoo Dave.
Tattoo Dave. And what's great about this, and this, you want to talk validation from, Dave is telling great stories about those days. Every story Dave told me, this man, on his own accord, on his own volition, matched the same exact story. There was nothing exaggerated, nothing made up. Former staff, antics that would happen, and it's almost like common language. And the guy came on out and said, and you remember so-and-so, you remember what he did, blah, blah, great stuff.
Yeah. No, you would have actually had a blast working there. I know you.
Oh,
you would have enjoyed it.
Would have loved it. And a very fine hamburger.
Yeah.
And a prime rib. Amazing.
Not bad.
And the best cream spinach I've had in a long time. Very smoky.
Well, I'm saying, because for a guy who has... loves restaurants like yourself and the whole thing. You've never worked in a restaurant, or is that am I wrong?
I played drums in a restaurant.
But that's what I'm saying. You've never really had to have a real job. That's a whole different issue. Let's be real. That's kind of sick. That's its own little department there.
I know.
You've never really had a job, have you?
No. Oh no, I did once. You ready?
What job did you have?
Okay. I worked a half a day for somebody I was dating about 25 years ago. About 25 years ago. She was working in a nonprofit. Okay, and they were having a gala.
Oh, boy.
And they needed help in the office organizing the invitations and who gets invited to what. And these are our VIP guests, so you include a red ribbon on that one tied around the card, and that gets, make sure that when you get that stamped first class mail and the other ones don't work. And within an hour or 48 minutes, I'm going, I have a migraine. I've never had a migraine. You know, I can't do this. And this older woman, no, oh, no, 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 Mr. Joseph Fitzsimmons. No, 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 no. That goes in the VIP pile. And I'm, oh, okay, and I'm grabbing this card. I'm thinking, like, this is a job.
You did, oh, but
this is a job.
Again, this was a relationship. You did this because you were with this woman.
But I was technically getting paid to work for the day.
Right, just one day. This is your one day.
I worked a half a day in my life, and I couldn't last.
By the way, I can't last. We're going to need the fan on. I can't last.
No, it's like, all right, folks, you're going to hear.
I don't think you're going to hear a lot of things, folks. I mean, no, yeah, that's good. Something.
Yeah,
lower. Again, we're in a COVID booth. I mean, you're going to see the picture.
Yeah.
I know we're going to post it. It's like a clear greenhouse.
Mm.
It's like a little greenhouse.
It is.
Yes. Strange vibe in here.
It is. But.
All right, so we're at the restaurant. Okay, he's doing a live picture. Let's do it. Why not? Okay. This is what it looks like while we're recording. He's getting the picture right now. We're live. Okay, good. Excellent, thank you.
Yeah, had to do
now,
it.
Now, we're at the restaurant, and it comes up Hiram Bullock, and Zach's like, I played with him.
Yeah.
I was like, I never knew this.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you everything always.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But this was early on. You were young.
89.
Yeah, you were a kid. Yeah.
88, 89.
How does Hiram find you? Seriously, like that?
Because in New York at that time, like any other business, it's smaller than you think, the circle. I knew Hiram from... I worked with him once on a random gig, but like he was very close friends with other people I was working with at the time. So you're in that network of people, and they need a drummer. It sounds crazy, but there's only like 3 to 5 names that were to come up in those discussions back in the day. Seriously, like Spyro Gyro was looking for a drummer. They auditioned 7 drummers. Apparently, I didn't get called for the 7 because I had done a gig. Not apparently, this is going to sound scandalous. Why not? I had done a gig with 2 of the members of Spyro Gyra on a separate gig, and one of the guys asked me, hey, so you dig Spyro Gyra? And I was like, yeah, it's all right, you know? And that was it. I never got a call to audition. But apparently my name was tossed in the time of those smooth jazz era players to get that call. But that's what it was back in the day. So our mutual friend Steve Wolf got called to do that first initial set of run tour or whatever with Hiram after I couldn't do it because I was working with Michelle Camilo at that time.
Okay, so you were doing the Hiram gig.
Never did it. Got asked to do it.
You never did the Hiram gig.
I did it years later.
Oh.
I got asked to be in his band.
Okay.
I couldn't do it.
Okay.
Steve Wolf got the gig.
Because you were doing the Michelle Camilo.
Correct. Then I got called to work with Hiram 5-6 years later. Some spot dates in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how was that?
Oh, he's incredible. I mean, so he was great. And not only that, we became friendly because we went to Knicks games together. He loved basketball and I loved the Knicks. I'd take him to the games that I had season tickets. That's a loud truck. It's a Walgreens truck.
This episode is brought to you by Walgreens.
Trusted since 1901. Didn't know that.
Okay.
Anyway, get on your way. All right. No, Hiram was hilarious. Loved basketball. We were kind of like more friendly than even musician cohorts. We just, yeah.
So he was a real friend.
He was a friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was he wild? Was he a wild guy, Hiram Bullock?
I think he was trying to tame that and curtail it in the years I got to know him.
Because that's the only thing that would strike me as an odd connection, right? You were never that guy. Like, it's okay. I'll say this. You don't have to say this. I'll say. Like, we mentioned Steve.
I was. Yeah.
We mentioned Steve Gadd. Grandpa Gadd, I call him.
Okay.
Now. And I'm saying, like, there was a time.
Yes.
We all know that there was a time where Steve Gadd was like, you know, he had a mound of Peruvian Coke wherever he went, right?
Yeah. He was a parody guy.
He was a smoke. He was a parody guy. You got it. He was a real parody guy. Cigarettes and the Coke and who knows what else. Mrs. Gadd, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, well,
more ass than a toilet seat, right? It had to be.
I can't speak to any of this.
It had to be a wild party. But that wasn't you.
Never was.
Right.
Never was.
And
my day will come, though.
That's what I'm saying. There's time to do that.
My day will come.
I'm going to score you a bag later.
Okay. I don't even know what that means, but okay.
Exactly. But yeah. Hiram Bullock was kind of known for...
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Did he like try with you? Do you remember any time where he was like he sniffed around you to see if you were into that kind of thing?
No. even someone like Chick Corea sniffed around if I'd be interested in becoming a Scientologist.
Tell me that story. When did that happen?
That happened in like 1993.
And how does that come up? Just straight ahead, like straight shot?
No, that comes up like this. How much time do we have? And my dear friend Gary Novak, he knows this story pretty much, I think. If he doesn't, Gary, listen to this. But Chick had wanted to put a second Electric Man together, to which Gary Novak was the drummer. He already hired Gary. He came to New York to play the Blue Note, Chick Corea, with I think Patitucci and Vinnie Colaiuta. And I was in the audience as an adoring fan. And apparently, I don't know exactly how it happened, but Chick's management called and said, Chick wants to play with you. He wants to rehearse with you. So I went to SIR Studios, I believe it was.
And you think it was because you were there that night? He saw you?
No, it was because he'd heard about me somehow.
Okay, okay.
I get called, we do a rehearsal. He asks me if I'm going to be in LA anytime soon. What's my schedule these days? I'm thinking, is he going to hire me? This is weird, because I heard rumblings that Gary was going to get the gig. Chick says, when you're in LA next, let me know, because I want to take you to dinner and talk to you. I'm like, uh-oh. Yeah. I go out there. He wants me to come to his house. I'm 22 probably at that time. And even though I was already semi-gourmand, if I may say so myself, I could have gotten him a Whitman sampler or See's candy. I went a little higher, but now looking back, I wouldn't dare do this to somebody I'm trying to impress. I brought a box of Godiva chocolate to him. All right? Thinking that would be like, oh, this is the upper echelon. I'm really showing him, right?
Right.
Box of Godiva chocolate.
I love it.
Could be why I never worked with him again. But anyway, bring him the chocolate. I think it was gift wrap, and his wife was sweet. You know, beautiful Zach. But takes me out to eat in Los Feliz, a place called Cafe Farfalla. Still there. I should go back because it's been 20 some odd years, 30 years. Takes me to dinner. Brings me back to his place. He's playing keyboards. I'm playing drums, blah, blah. And he sits me down and he says, hey, I just want to let you know I really love playing with you in New York at this rehearsal. And man, I wish I knew you were around. Not like I would have hired you instead of Gary, but it wasn't even necessarily implied, but Gary, sorry, it wasn't not implied either. It was just like, hey, man, I wish I knew. And he said, if something doesn't work out with this configuration, Gary can't make it or whatever, just be ready. He's like, I'm going to give you a ring. And then he said also like, and you know about the whole Scientology thing, and you know, I'm not saying you have to, but would you entertain that? And I said, yeah, I'd entertain that.
He said to you that, and he said, you know about the whole Scientology thing.
Meaning, you know that that's my bag a little bit. You're aware of the, you know, of my interest in that.
Did he delve in?
No.
He said, do you have any questions?
Maybe he did, but he, again, not pushy, not demanding.
Did you really know about it at the time, though? Did you know anything about it?
I only knew that it was supposedly something a bit strange,
right,
and foreign.
Right.
But didn't know, well, we didn't have the whole documentaries about Tom Cruise.
That's
and all that.
That's what I'm saying.
No, that was pre all that. But even so, the ignorant point of view, or maybe the very informed point of view, is that it was weird stuff. And you probably don't want to get involved.
Culty.
You got it. That's what I thought. That's what it was conveyed as back in those days. And Chick was never like, you know, if you join my band, you must. No. None of that.
But that's what I'm saying. He did. He asked you, like, would you be open?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Huh.
Would you entertain, like, you know, being part of that?
Because Gary didn't have to join, right?
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm not saying he did. I didn't have to join. Was he asked? I don't know.
Interesting.
This is some touchy subject matter, Dave.
Well, we like to go out there because I know, I mean, well, whatever. We just say it. You know, that's the difference.
You know what it is? As you get older, you get more refined, but you also get more frivolous. And you're like, fuck it, we're not here that long on this planet. I'm going to speak my piece.
Thank you. I think that's important to do that.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying one way or the other what it is or what it isn't. I'm just saying that's what happened.
I mean, you never did get to play with Chick Corea.
Beyond that rehearsal.
And I guess at this point, you never will. From here on out.
I mean, unless there's that, right, cotton club in the sky, as they say. In which case, hope this...
Which could be interesting.
Could be interesting,
you
right?
You know what I mean? I like the cotton club.
Because he had an album, I think, called Light as a Feather. And I think that, you know...
What did he die of, by the way? What was that?
I don't know if it was...
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
It wasn't Scientology, though, I don't believe.
I don't. he wasn't an overdose kind of guy, right?
I don't think so.
It was a natural causes vibe.
I would have to assume that, yes.
All right, so Hiram Bullock, that happened years later, and you became friends.
He was really...
I just never knew that about you. I mean, I'm sure there's other gigs that I have no idea that whoever did.
Yeah, none that I'll admit to. But, but yeah. But anyway, yes. How we doing? We still rolling on the Zoom? Yeah, so by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on, man.
Lay into me.
Come on. Is this the... No, no, you bought a new unit. It crapped out.
Well, you know purchased... this is the new one because this is not... This wasn't around 11 years
ago. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You upgraded the actual unit itself to something.
Right.
But, folks, the guy's holding this thing in his hand. He's quivering with it. I mean, it's a tripod. Why are you holding it? Doesn't this thing fan out? What are you doing, man?
Because it would...
What are you, Brent Musburger? What is this?
I'm doing, who was the thin mic? Who was the thin mic guy?
Gene Rayburn.
Thank you.
Bob Barker. What is this?
This is what it is. I mean, you got to get it. I mean, spayed and neutered. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
He was into the pet population controlling.
Right.
All right.
No, we could do a lot better. We could do a lot better.
There's things that could be done, man.
I know. And that's the irony.
Wireless lav mic.
But that's the irony of doing audio people, in a sense, and all these guys with their home recording studios, and I show up with this
Look at this, man.
And these guys are like, bro, you see the mics I got?
Right. And you want to
even see?
Right. And you know what? People are tuning into your podcast and not theirs.
Isn't that interesting?
There you go. Maybe... all the Zoom.
Well, I mean, we've been over that too. Rush Limbaugh had the golden microphone. I mean, you can get the golden microphone, but if you suck, what good is it, right?
Yes, sir.
So
this is great, man.
All right, so this is nice though. We're both in New York City
temporarily
in the end of July.
Yeah,
literally the last day of July, 2023.
Correct.
And you're going to Japan.
I am now.
If I may, because you had to come into town and do some Japanese consulate
work.
Yeah.
Yes, which is how we squeezed all this in. It just so happened we happened to both be here at the right moment.
Yep.
My main purpose of coming here, I wanted to look at some stuff I have in storage, and get it ready to ship to LA.
Is that the plan for real?
Like, yeah, it is for real.
Everything?
No. Hardly anything, but a few items.
So most stuff is going to be remaining in New York.
I will always be a New Yorker.
I was going to say, you're not really letting go. You're not letting go yet.
The minute you ship a queen-size bed in a frame, it's all over.
Yeah.
We leave that here. You have to have 1 foot here and 1 foot there.
That's the deal.
So you go there, you buy the nice enough bed, you buy the nice enough sofa, you maybe go to Room and Board, maybe you even go to IKEA, but you go to West Elm if you have to, things like that, right?
Right.
And it looks like a nice model apartment there, and when you're really serious about living in the place, then you go to Raymore and Flat. No, you don't go to Raymore and Flat. But anyway.
Wait, have you bought a car yet?
That's next.
Yeah,
So check this out.
Yep, yep.
That's the third piece of this puzzle. One was practice studio, rehearsal recording room. Apartment. Third is car. I'm renting. I just booked it today when I return. I'm renting a Tesla because I want to know. We can get political on Elon Musk all you want, but I want to know if I want an electric vehicle. I want to know how it really feels to drive it. I want to know how it feels to need to charge it, meaning how convenient is it, how inconvenient. If you rent it, within a month of that rental, I'm going to have a feeling, do I want one of these or do I not? So I thought it was very cool.
Have you started yet?
No, never did.
Oh, you haven't even... Oh, okay.
On Monday, I go back to L.A. next week. I get to the car rental place, and they hand me a Tesla.
Interesting. Look at you. This episode is brought to you by Tesla.
There you go. But I might want a VW electric car, or maybe a BMW. I'm not a car guy, but I'll tell you something about this, right?
Yeah, New Yorkers, we're not... Both of us are not
I've never been a car guy.
No.
But, you know, being just somebody who has an issue with mediocrity... You realize that unfolds into cars big time. So I rented this BMW, and I'm talking like I'm a car guy. I know nothing.
Right.
But I rented a BMW X3 SUV, and I'm just staring at the decor inside and like the way the screen and just everything about it and the way it handles. I'm speeding, folks, sometimes. And when I do, I'm like, am I going 97 for this one stretch? Felt like I was going 60.
Right.
And sometimes I even did it with passengers in the car to say, not like boom, but like, I'm like, do you know how fast I'm going? They're like, I'm like, what? I said, it feels like nothing.
Smooth.
Then I had to trade it in and I got a Toyota RAV4 SUV and I feel like I'm in a Flintstones mobile.
It's shaking, it's rattling.
It's rattling, it's shaking. Yeah. I had an issue with the blinker, just the amount of pullback as you, or push down on the blinker. I'm trying to make a left turn, and it's making this weird click. Not the click once you're blinking, not that sound. Right. Just the click down, the snap sound. I can't live with it. I'm not buying that RAV4 just because I don't like the blinker click feel.
So you're testing. This is all a test.
It's all a test. But that's why people buy expensive cars. Better is usually better in life.
Did you ever do that with a certain drum company? Did you ever get to like use things before you signed on, or you just you did do that?
Yeah, before I got an endorsement very many years ago with Yamaha, they were my dream drums because I played them every day at Drummers Collective when I was studying there. And I wanted those drums.
Gotcha.
And then I got those drums. I'm with Gretsch. I've loved Gretsch for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
I played them. I own sets. I used them on recording. They rented them. And you get Gretsch because I know what I'm in for.
So that was the same thing, basically. You were like, I know it. I know what I want.
Right.
You're not just...
I don't want a Toyota RAV4.
I gotcha. You want a Tesla right now.
I don't... No, I want to see if I want a Tesla.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're ready to go electric if need be.
If it works, yeah.
Chick Corea electric. Zach Tanzi
electric. Yes, electric car. Yeah.
Right, right. You're ready. Yes. No more acoustic gas.
That's right.
That would be interesting. I mean, I don't know if you... I guess you're not going long distances. It's not really...
No, I'm not.
It's really not going to make a difference for you.
And they go about 300 miles at a clip. And there's charging stations everywhere.
You're not a long... You're not that guy. You're not going to go on some long... You're not going to drive into Vegas.
I'm not going to Yosemite.
And where are you going? Where are you going? You know what I mean?
Like, I did go to Vegas a few weeks ago for the NBA Summer League.
What the hell was that?
That's a league that they have every summer of the pro teams. They play their rookies. They play undrafted players. Oh. It's like an audition type thing. And they have them in a couple of arenas. And it was a fun little event.
Was this your first time doing that?
It was.
And so this is something you wanted to do.
And a buddy of mine. Yeah, 108 degrees in the daytime. A
buddy from here? From New York?
I met in New York and, lives in L.A. right now.
Interesting. In a music guy or no?
No, he's a reporter. He's a very prestigious reporter. Not that you're not, Dave.
Maury Povich?
No. Current affair, my man. But so he and I went. And we're going back in December if I'm around because they're having the first ever. I mean, this is a drum podcast. We're talking NBA.
Okay, but the point is that that's what we do. We're on a drum podcast.
Right.
And we're talking about steakhouses and Japanese consulates.
Consulates. Oh,
back
yeah.
to that.
We're going to get there in a second. Do you know several people have come up to me? Have I told you this? I want to say twice in Pasadena. I don't know what's up with Pasadena and me. I'm at a cafe. Did I tell you this? A guy taps me on the shoulder and he goes, look at this place. It looks like it's fully booked.
Yes.
And I'm like, what?
Yes.
That was better. That meant more to me than if a guy actually transcribed any drum solo I've ever taken and said, look, here's your drum solo. I'd be like, who cares? You fully booped me? And we're on. Something's happening now. Yeah. And so let's hope there are a few fully booked in this podcast.
We are fully booked.
That I can get tapped on.
You really? And by the way, he has sent me, folks, he sent me audio. He's been over in Europe since, and he's like, I get a clip from him, and you hear Zach going like, could you just repeat that again? I'm sorry, sir, we are fully booked.
Yeah, I bait them to get a fully booked, because what happens is, sometimes they'll say it, and then I'm going, oh shit, I missed it,
right.
And then I do it again, and sometimes I sense it coming on, so I bait them with a question of, hotel seems busy last night, right? Oh, yes, sir, we were fully booked. You know, you just lay for it, you know it's coming.
You really captured that, too, because I never thought of it, and yet you were right, and they love to say
it. They love to say it.
Fully booked.
Fully booked.
I don't know what that is. You're absolutely right about these four. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a weird ear that picks up on something that's really in the air.
But you have sent me video, too. You've been on the road with, like, Lefave and Lindner, and you're in a coffee shop, and other things, like... And you'll take video because they'll tell you stuff that they've heard on these episodes.
Yes, yes. Thanks to you. Yes.
No, but that's the beauty. Like you were saying, it's not about the music.
No. Hopefully
it's all
not.
About your riffing on coffee.
Right.
And,
My drumming has declined, my catchphrases have been on the ascension. They're soaring.
Where are you personally at home with coffee? What are you doing in L.A. now? Nothing because you don't have a place. Is it set up? Do you have a machine? What's going on?
Yeah. So. You really want to make this about coffee, dude?
I'm curious, is the machine here, or did you bring it? How do you...
No, but this is a question I love answering. I just hope people are still listening.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a semi-commercial espresso machine in New York for many years, and still do. That's also in storage. The reason is, it's very expensive, and it weighs about 100 pounds, and it's old already. I just feel if I UPS it, it's going to show up dinged and broken, and I just would rather say, if I move back to New York in a couple of years, there's my machine.
It's a New York machine. And
it's going to live there. I probably will ship my grinder, because that's important too. But when I went to L.A., I had a place for about 6 months through a friend that was amazing. It was a 7-bedroom house, and I got, and I was, I've been in LA since January, February. I had this house until very recently, and I was going out every day for coffee, and the coffee now is $5.50, $6 sometimes for just a morning cappuccino. And then, all right, here's another one. I realize what I don't like about this now. You go to these places, everybody. A lot of places is you pay and you, they give you a number and they bring your food to you.
Yeah.
Or not even, you know, just wait for your coffee. They ask you at the point of purchase for the tip. And, you know, usually it defaults sometimes to 18%. Some places will start at 18, 20, 22. Some places will start at 20. They'll go 25, 30. They're outlandish. Smaller cities, they might go 15, 18, 20. Here's the problem. The concept of a tip is what, Dave?
The concept of the tip?
Is what? What's the premise behind tipping?
That they're not making an hourly... There are, but it's a very small hourly wage.
No, that's one of the premises. What determines what you tip the staff?
Good service, my friend.
How do you fucking know how good the service is if you're paying the tip before the fucking service has started?
Thank you. This is where we are. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's get into that.
See how I got angry?
Yeah, let's get into
it. I don't mind giving you 20%, but how do I know? You've earned the 20%. You haven't done it yet.
Right. Amen.
And now they've got your money. They can do whatever. You can wait 40 minutes for the coffee. They've got their tip.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
Yes.
So what do we do? You know what? Credit card companies and merchant apparatus companies, you know what you do? You store my stuff in file, a unique ID. I show back up afterwards. Would you like to tip?
Right.
Not beforehand.
Right.
And then people go, they're not waiting on me hand and foot like a restaurant. That's fine too. They need to make their wages. But I don't know how good of a job you did.
Correct.
You could give me an attitude, and you make the coffee pour, and I go, I don't love it. What's wrong? And they give me that. I've already tipped you 20%.
That's it.
That's the problem.
That's it.
Hello, world? Do something about this.
That's an Uber Eats thing too, as well. They pull that shit. They tip up front.
Up front.
Like, you're my hero. It's like, it's a category.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you're the best. You're a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
And it's like, you hit it, but then it's like, you're up first with priority. No, you're not.
No.
No, you're not. There's like,
no, they got
guy.
You by the balls.
They got you by the balls. And you already tipped. You already did it.
Yeah.
And then they show up 30 minutes
that's
later.
That's right.
Like, priority.
You can't remove your tip at that
priority
point.
Priority my ass.
Right. Yeah, so that's a problem. Why was I talking about that? Oh, coffee. So I go to these places. It would cost me $7 in LA.
So you're out of pocket every day when you wake up?
$7.
Wow.
And then sometimes you get the scone. Sometimes you get the croissant. You know?
But you're still not making your own coffee now?
Well, no. What happened was, a couple of months in, I'm like, I can't do this. I'm driving to get an inferior coffee that I don't like anyway. I ordered. So I follow a barista online who's really makes amazing latte and all that. And she was using a machine that maybe she got paid sponsorship, but it's okay. She was using like a under $300 machine and making incredible like microfoam, they call it. And it used to be where you needed these $1,000 machines with the perfect pressure and the steam. And I'm watching what I'm watching. I'm going, it's better than anything I've made on my $2,000 machine. Yeah, it's almost like a great drummer could play on a kid's toy drum set. And you can give like a drummer who's been playing 3 months, whatever you want to call the top line, anything. I can play the Fisher-Price set.
Right.
That's what a barista can do, probably.
Right.
But the fact that it could be done at all on this toy espresso machine,
right,
and it was under $300, I bought one. And there was a little bit of a learning curve, and I got to say, I did augment it, because there are different little portafilter handles that make it better. There are baskets where you dose the coffee that make it better of an extraction, and those are incremental upgrades. So I might have poured another $80 into the machine,
mm-hmm,
but I tell you, and you know me, good enough is never good enough, but sometimes good enough is good enough. This is about 80 to 85% as good as what I make on my expensive machine. It's not 100% as good, but it's 80-85%.
Sure.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
Because the machine's cheap. So,
right.
And then I bought a crank grinder. You know the grinders that people take, the portable ones
He's doing the arm around circles, folks.
Yeah,
he's
pepper mill.
Like a pepper mill grind.
Did a lot of research, and in fact, a friend of mine, Dave Elitch, who you know, friend of the pod, as they say.
Yeah.
Dave Elitch.
Old friend of the show.
Dave knows so much about so much, but he leans on me for some coffee advice.
Yeah.
I'm very honored, you
sure,
know?
Sure.
And he asked me what I'm using, he told me what he had, and I was like, Dave, that that grinder, whatever you have or don't have, or he didn't. Maybe he didn't have a grinder, and he's like, I'm getting my beans ground. I was like, No, pre-ground.
No, no.
And I said, listen, I'm not going to say this is the best grinder, but I'm saying I did a lot of research on Amazon, and I was really happy with this like $70 grinder I've found. I feel it looks good, it's cool. They think you crank for 5 minutes to get in. Crank a minute, big deal. He buys it, he writes me the next day, he goes, oh my God, you've just, I don't believe what this did to my life with coffee, just this grinder. So like, I'm glad I can do this. So I have that grinder in LA.
It's an analog vibe too.
It's an analog vibe.
Which I like. It's like,
so it's great.
Everything's by hand.
Right, so I can live with that, but I'll probably bring my automatic professional grinder this trip and I'll have it in LA. But I'll stay with the cheap sub $300 machine just because. And I would make fun of anybody who would buy any espresso machine under $1,000 because I knew if they're paying less than a grand, they weren't getting what's known as a double boiler. And we're not going to go into this. It's not a coffee podcast.
A double boiler.
Double boiler. That means that there's one boiler for the espresso extraction and one for the steam because there are different temperatures. If you have a single boiler machine, you can't do both at the same time. Because imagine you want cold water for something, not cold, but you know, you want one temperature for that and one temperature. One boiler means it can only heat to one at a time.
Wow.
Double boiler means they're both ready to go at all times. So you don't have to wait.
Wow.
So I have a single boiler, but it didn't take long to figure out how to heat it up after you. It was fine.
But that's just to froth milk, right?
Just to froth milk. You just want an espresso, you're fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's why I like the mocha pot, by the way.
Well, that's a Bialetti vibe.
I'm still on.
Okay,
still on.
We have to leave this topic, Dave.
We can. We can absolutely leave this topic. Don't worry. We got plenty of time.
Okay.
Now, you also, see, the housing situation
we've
covered, we'll call it, right? L.A., it is what it is. Yeah. I got, all right, fair enough. You're going to Japan.
I'm going to Japan.
When's the last time you were in Japan?
2019.
Okay.
To work with who I'm working with again, Donnie McCaslin.
Right.
Played the Blue Note last time, and we're playing Blue Note this time.
You like the food there?
Hate it.
Really?
No, that's my favorite.
Come on.
No, it's. I'm going to think of like top cities where I think the food is just. I might put Japan at the number one.
Really?
Yeah, as far as like. Not that they. Apparently, like the best Italian food you can eat outside of Italy is Japan. I've heard that countless times, and I believe it. Countless. I've never experienced that. I never had any Italian food there. When they try to put their mind and get something, they get it, you know?
Mm.
But like almost every Japanese meal you can eat, even at a 7-Eleven, their little snacks, I think they're the highest level. Because you can go to Italy, which is one of my favorite places.
You were just there recently.
Yeah, and Spain,
which
Barcelona, you know, you have time in Spain. I love Spain. A friend of mine just went to Barcelona. I told him a few places to go, and he's like, oh, man, they were great. He's like, no offense. He's like, they were incredible. They're after us. This interview is fire, you know. No emojis needed. You know that whole thing where they... I told you, people, they overuse emojis. It's like... I think it's a sign of like laziness and unoriginality. I'm sorry. Laziness / unoriginality.
Using emojis.
Yeah, you're being, unless you use an absolute unique one that has never been used or you combine them, but they give you like, I didn't even know they gave you 4 or 5 stock ones on Instagram.
That's right.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I was just like, why is everyone using the same 2 or 3 with the prayer and the this and that?
Right.
It's because those are right there. And that made me respect it even less. Because you're just being fed, like, oh, I'll click that one. Fire, 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 fire.
Right.
Oh, so easy, right? Fire.
A clip of someone playing, and then the response is just fire.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I would more respect, that was fucking fire, man.
Right.
And even that I don't respect.
Spell it out. Right, right.
Do some legwork.
Yeah.
Do some legwork. And so it just is like, I see no personality there. I want to see the person in the person.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I want to see the individuality in the person, of the person.
Right.
If I'm looking at all these comments, I'm like, why? Oh, he had 3 fire emojis instead of 1, so that he means he liked it more. Like, give me, come on, man, be original. Be original. Life is too short. Be remembered if you can.
So we'll work on for the next one. You're gonna rank the places in the world with the best food.
Okay. Right, but Japan is definitely right up there.
And how is the sushi there, by the way? How is it? Have you had it?
Have I had it?
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, you can get the same quality or better than the top places in L.A. or New York for half the price.
Mm.
Now, the best place in L.A. or the best place in New York can probably rival one of the best places in Japan. the best place in New York or best place in LA, but the average to the average.
Yeah.
Or even the low average in LA to what they call low average in Tokyo. Forget it. Tokyo destroys it.
Yeah, I got you.
Destroys it.
Well, that's the coffee in Spain. I've said that to you. You go into any dive cafe.
My friend just went, your €1.50 destroys anything here.
Anything.
Like okay, $6 for this car.
The best here, by the way.
Yes.
At some shithole in Barcelona, and you're getting
it's better over there.
Absolutely.
Yep. Glad we agree on that.
100%.
Yeah. So, what else do we got, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you something. Yeah. You're still doing the Wednesday Night Titans thing.
Yes, there's a bit of a hiatus as I've...
Why?
Why?
Talk to me about independently running a whole thing, like a whole fucking thing. I mean, it's a thing.
That's been a rough one in terms of like what has to go into that production and gig is the most I've taken on since having this project Boomish, but I had... eventually hired a staff with Boomish, and there was three of us in the band, and then there was some staff to really chip in, you know, like dedicated people to turn it into the show that it became at one point. Not yet on Wednesday Night Titans. The goal is to have that staff with Wednesday Night Titans. I mean, me and Kevin Scott are the bandmates of it, but we definitely, you know, we've had this conversation, him and I, for years. We would love nothing more than our own lighting director, our own videographer / film editor. So when we do the gigs, I'm not in the hotel room that night editing all the videos to put up clips for the promos for the next town, and we have a staff, because right in the setup crew, like we have one guy who's really great, and we want more. Like it's grueling to set. We set up our own lights, our own monitors, our own screens, our own sound, everything. It's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. So Kevin is out now with a band, Government Mule, and he's got some spot dates through the year. And it comes as in a good timing because I've been out doing some stuff with Donnie, but I also knew I was going to make this move to LA, which honestly, it did take up a solid 6 to 7 weeks. All I could think about was, I need to find a place. I couldn't even think or want to do anything drumming-wise, writing-wise, filming-wise, anything. And now that I got the place, it's weird how the brain just goes, it switches. Now I'm like, I'm ready to write music. I'm ready to do this. I want to go hit the drums again, you know? I had no interest because you're in this sort of survival mode of what's most important right now, and you need a roof over your head to feel like you can do anything. And I needed the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hold on real quick. Yeah. You said something about soup to, I mean, the idea of setting everything up.
Yes.
Everything. Mm. How long are we talking? You started at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
How long is that going to take to set up everything?
For a Wednesday Night Titans gig... The quickest we've done it with me, Kevin, and a production tour manager person who's very savvy and runs sound for us, I think the record time might be under an hour. And I'm talking from arriving to the venue and we unload the van.
Soup to nuts.
And here's our cases. Yep. All right. From open the doors of the van into the club to ready to sound check.
1 hour.
I think we can do it, and we've done it in 45, 50 minutes. Ideally, that's a rush job. We're literally jumping over cable. We're sweating. Semi-relaxed, but not really relaxed, a good hour, 15, hour 30. To get it really right, truly, should be about 2.5, 3 hours.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because it should take a solid, like, I don't know. I've been devising a system of, we film every gig with like 5 or 6 cameras, and again, I'm not as bright as I need to be for this. It shouldn't matter what venue you play. You should have a system of one camera goes under the ride shining this way, one of them is dead center of the stage hitting the screen, and Kevin and myself, one should be on Kevin's bass neck only right from here. It doesn't matter whether the stage is 80 feet long or 8 feet long. The cameras still exists where they do. But I never, a perfect example, I've never had a sound check long enough in the history of our band to even have the time to troubleshoot that, to know that these are the places the camera's got to go. Just hit me. That just hit me. That's why I don't know where to put them. Because I never had the time to do it and go, yep, that's looking right, that's looking right. So every time it's its own time.
Right.
And I'm just scurrying.
Right.
I never got it right once. Kevin could tell you. Every night I'm like, I forgot to turn that camera on. Or, wait a minute, that one was out of batteries. Or, wait, the tripod, I knew that tripod was flimsy and the camera flipped to the, it's filming the audience. You know,
right.
Never got it right once.
Right. And you'd think that someone could help out listening to this, maybe?
Yes.
A club owner, that kind of...
No, not club owner, come on. Oh, club owner, yes, to give us more time.
Yeah. And then you could say something like, hey, I appreciate you.
You could say that. You could say that. What did you say?
I appreciate
you. Oh, yeah, so hop on a bandwagon, why don't you, my friend?
Yeah.
When did that saying come to be?
I feel like it's newish. In the past few years.
It's newish.
It's new. It wasn't around 20 years ago. That's
no, sure. No. And I take issue, and you know I do. It started with, yeah, I appreciate it. Now it's, I appreciate you. Again, it's the same way I feel about the word awesome. It doesn't tell the story. I appreciate you. You know what? When you say that, you realize they don't really appreciate you. When people, I think when someone
uses it on you, in other words, you know it's bullshit. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it's not that it's bullshit. You just know that it's a frivolous sort of, again, it's the emoji.
It's fire emojis.
It's fire emojis, man. Yeah, it's like...
It's lazy.
And another one is, and I might have said it to you at one point, people say it all the time. They're like, I got you.
That's a big one.
It's almost like, you know what? I have no fucking faith in you that you got me on any level whatsoever.
On anything.
The fact you're saying that, I know you don't got me. No.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
You don't got me.
But that could be the waiter, too, right? It could be any.
It happened 100 times in a week.
That's it.
Almond milk. I got you.
Right.
Oh, thank you so much. I was so worried, but you got me.
Right.
You got me. Shit.
What size t-shirt are you at large?
I got you.
Right.
I'm like, I'm in good hands now.
Yeah.
At the Gap.
Yeah. Exactly.
You got me. Man, I was hoping I'd be got.
Right.
And now you got me. This is great.
I got you.
This is great.
We're going to get some comments on this, I think. You'll get some play.
Yeah, bring it to me.
You'll get some play on this.
Bring it.
Let's talk about duvet covers for a minute.
Well, more specifically, where they reside on the human body. Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, I am.
Now, most duvet covers reside over the human body, in a bed, right? In your bedroom.
That's usually the correct,
right. Now, I pointed this out to you on the walk over here.
That's right.
Okay? And if I have the gumption... We might show our audience an example in case they're confused.
Uh-huh.
Now, I need to preface this, Dave. Mm-hmm. I need to preface it by saying it is not entirely dependent on the individual being overweight. It's a component. It's not entirely dependent.
I thought it was vital. I mean,
It's a component.
Okay, all right.
A necessary one.
Okay.
But that ain't what does it, okay? It's a fashion decision. Now, a thin person can't pull this off.
Right.
So it is dependent on some weight.
Yep.
But you can see an overweight person not have what I call the duvet look. The duvet look pretty much looks like, when I pointed out to you and told you, you couldn't stop laughing because you knew it was right. It's mostly gentlemen, business gentlemen, out for lunch on the streets of New York, or anywhere, but definitely New York. They got the button-up shirt tucked in, and it literally looks like they got a fucking down comforter in their stomach. Okay?
This was a large gentleman, yeah.
Not that large.
This particular guy was. Come on. That was a big boy, that guy.
I swear, it does not look like human flesh under there. It looks like a feather duvet. It's a down comforter.
Like he's expecting a punch to the gut. And it's like a
and he's buffered himself. It's turnbuckle padding.
That's right.
This guy has a duvet. He's got a duvet, and I'm telling you, I'm at a point weight-wise, and this is why I can say this, because I swear to you, you don't see this.
Right, yeah, I don't know what you mentioned before. You're saying you're...
I'm telling you, if I were to cinch this T-shirt tight and put a button-up shirt that's too tight... And sort of lean into it a little bit and cinch that belt a little.
You would have the duvet look?
The beginnings of the duvet look.
The beginnings.
And that's when I know it's time to go to the gym.
A child's duvet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a lesser thread, lesser feather count duvet. You know how they have light, medium, heavy for different seasons?
There's an outfit, by the way. Right here, across the street.
Oh, yeah.
What do we call that? What is that? What outfit is that?
That looks like... When it rains at Shea Stadium or at Citi Field and they put the tarp out, that's what that looks like to me.
It's even got the team colors, right?
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's a rain delay outfit.
That's a rain delay.
It's really nice. But the duvet look, yeah. And I'm teetering on it, and that's not a good thing, man.
I know, but
not a good thing.
What's going on with you? I mean,
what's going on with what?
Why are you putting weight on? I mean, first of all, I don't see it. I don't see you.
I hide it well.
You're not a fat fuck.
I am small boned, as they say, and don't infer too much from that. Okay. Very thin. I have the makings like I should be. Should. And again, this is not LA speaking, because it sounds like very LA speaking. Oh, I need to drop 10. Oh, no, I need to drop 15, 20 pounds. Anyway, what's going on with me? What goes on with me is every time I go to LA, especially this trip, and it's going to change soon. I got 7 weeks of LA of driving and sitting in my car, not wanting to walk that half a block to the cafe because it's too far.
Right.
I go to New York. You know, we have the health apps on our phone. I'm walking 15 to 20,000 steps in New York without trying. In L.A., in the first few days I get to L.A., I still have the New York attitude, so I'm like, yeah, I'm walking here. I'm walking. And then you slip back and say, no, I'm getting my car, I'm in L.A. And then the step count goes to 5,000 steps a day. So if you do some math, I mean, the difference between 20,000 to 5, that 15,000 steps might be, let's say, an extra 400 to 500 calories burned. You take 500 calories extra a day over 10 days, you're at 5,000. One calorie of weight is 35, I mean, 1 pound of weight is 3,500 calories. Did you know that?
Yeah.
For every 3,500 calories is a pound. Now, I'm pretty sure of that, but you can debate that. So if today I just, you said, here's a 3,500 calorie milkshake, and I drank it now as opposed to didn't, that should equate to one more pound of weight than if I didn't have it. It is that simple. It's a numbers game. So my point is, if I'm burning 500 calories more a day in New York, so we're at 5,000 after 10 days, 30 days we're at 15,000. So 3,500 is a pound. 15,000 is about 4 pounds, 4.5 pounds. So it makes sense that in 2 months of that deficit, I've gained 8 to 10 pounds. That's just the math.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If I make it up in other ways, if I go to the gym, but I'm saying, but I didn't. I did everything as normal, except didn't do all that walking. So I put on 10 pounds. No mystery how I did that. I was stressed, not exercising, and not walking around, and sitting in my car.
Sure.
And that's, boy, LA, it'll get you.
L.A. did this to you.
Yeah, L.A. is supposed to be where you go to get in shape.
It does seem backwards.
I go there to get out of shape.
There's an irony there. Yes. Exactly, exactly.
But now, once I'm settled, and I will start going to a gym, I say.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I will play drums more because I have a studio space to play.
Does Zach Danziger go to gyms? Is that
no, he doesn't.
Right, okay. No. I didn't think so. But he's going to. He will.
He needs to.
Yeah, this is a new thing.
It'd be a new necessary thing.
Yeah, you're not looking forward to it, I can see that.
Never have been, but you know, but like anything else, you get into it. Now, I used to go to the gym when I was younger, but not like, oh, I'm a gym guy, but go to the gym. It's one thing to go to the gym.
Right.
It's one thing to be a gym guy.
Right, right.
I'll never be a gym guy.
Gym rat.
Gym rat. Yeah. I just don't feel like that's who I am.
You're not a gym
bro. Rat.
You're not a gym
No, bro. I'm not. Not a gym brony, they say, but I will. I like being active, whatever that means. I don't like being unfit.
Do you shoot hoops?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you do that in L.A.?
Okay.
Okay.
I've been trying. My friend has a basketball court in his, you know, as part of his house. This is how you know you're getting old. I'm standing at the regulation free throw line and going, is a free throw that far away? I've had a life of playing basketball on and off for years, right? And I'm like, are you sure your hoop is 10 feet and not 12? Like, he's like, no, it's 10. I'm like, are you sure?
Are you sure?
I got the tape measure out. I'm thinking it's 11 feet. I'm like, it's so high and so far away.
Yeah.
No, you know what it is? I'm old, and my shoulders aren't strong enough to flick the ball, and I'm starting to get cramps and lifting my shoulder and repetitive stress.
Yeah.
I'm out of shape, man.
God, you just reminded me of the first time I ever played to a click track in a studio, and it was a friend of mine. Yeah. Of course, that's how I got it, of course. That's the only way. How else would you get your first job, right? And it was like, I remember listening, and he was showing me how, like, dude, you're not even, and it was like,
close.
And I kept going, you moved it, right? You moved, and he's looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? You know what I mean? Like,
but I'll tell you something funny.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, that feeling. Like, what's going on? Yeah.
You did this, right?
Yeah, you did this. This ain't 10 feet.
Right.
No, but I will say this. Speaking of, this is a podcast for drummers. I'd hit that.
Allegedly.
Okay, I'm going to talk drumming just to feel like I know what I'm talking
about.
It's very true in the world of DAW, you know, like hardware workstation, digital audio workstations. when you record drums and stuff, there's so many different things with latency, like with plugins and stuff like that. And there are, in the software, you can like hit a button that's called low latency mode. So when you're tracking, you don't hear the latency. You don't feel it. Like if you put a lot of plugins that take up CPU power, like a reverb or a compressor or some, even if you want to put something on the mastering chain while you're playing, because it makes the drum sound full and beefy and processed and reverb or whatever, some of those take up CPU power, and they all add up incrementally into giving you a delay. So you'll hit the snare and you go, da-da, brum, like it'll sound flammed, and that throws you off too. So you're like, do I disable some of the hog, you know, that are processing my CPU? And software has like one check buttons to be like, it'll intelligently disable the ones that are the most latent, that are causing the most delay. You hit the button and you track, okay? And because I use different brands of software, I use Ableton a ton. I use that the most, but I do use Logic for stuff. And I was trying to track drums in Logic, and I haven't used it for that in years. So I'm like, am I doing this right or wrong? And I'm reading the manual. I'm on YouTube and checking it. So I did what I thought they told me to do. And I hit the low latency, and I'm playing. I'm listening back, and I'm like, am I that off with the click? Like, am I rushing that much, or am I dragging that much? And then it was the time where I started rushing sounding, and then it got in the pocket, and then I was behind the beat, all within a 30-second period. I'm going, what? Is this me, or is it something in the computer? I restart the software, do the same procedure, and lo and behold, now I'm on with the click.
Dead on.
I'm never dead on. My time's not that good, but believably playing to a click, yes.
Right.
So, and I'm just like, so wait a minute.
Do we have the answer to what happened?
Right. Was I that off the first time, or was it something in the song? And then how could that do it? How could I can see if I was consistently ahead, because the latency compensates and it puts you ahead or behind, you know what I mean? Then you take that off and it slips you back. But how is it slipping me on a downward slope throughout? Anyone with the answer to that, please tell me. But that screws you. And there are many times where that's happened in times I'm like, am I that off? It wasn't me. It was latency, and I'm not trying to blame, like, oh, the sun was in my eyes on a fly ball. But
sure,
but
sure.
Sometimes it's not always you. I can't speak for your situation that you're mentioning, but
oh yeah, no, we're not okay. Speaking for that at all.
Okay.
No one will speak for that.
Okay,
nobody.
But yeah, be careful, everybody out there. Sometimes it ain't you.
So sometimes it really is just the sun in your eyes, is what you're saying.
Yes, it is.
And you need those black marks under the eyes.
Yes,
that's what that helps.
The Aaron Judge. Yeah.
The Aaron Judge, exactly.
Yes, the dark pencil.
Speaking of which, I'm going to Yankee game tonight, folks. Look out!
I believe it's Thurman Munson Day.
I hope it is.
It is. Sadly, the anniversary of his plane
crash. You know this for
yes.
Fact.
Tonight is Thurman Munson night.
At the stadium?
At the stadium, I'm almost positive.
Wow. Should I wear a mustache in his honor? What do we do?
He had a Rob Reiner look, a meathead from
it
Rob.
It was kind of a Rob Reiner vibe. Yeah. Meathead vibe.
Yeah, Rob Reiner years all in the family.
He flew a plane.
He crashed his own plane in Canton, Ohio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Canton, Ohio. Look at you.
No, I was very into this. Me and my dad went, you ready for this? Me and my dad went to the memorial game like two, three nights after his death was the first game they played since he had died at Yankee Stadium. And this is back in, I think it was 1979 in August.
Yep.
And you know the way the subway system was in the 70s. You would sometimes get on the train and the cars would have no lights, so it would be a black car blacked out. Many times there was no air conditioning. And I remember this like it was yesterday. Me and my dad was a huge Yankee fan. We'd go to a lot of games.
Yeah.
We're taking the 4 train, the IRT, to Yankee Stadium from downtown. And it's boiling in the car. But I'm 8 years old. I don't care. It's hot, but yeah. My dad can't deal with this. And he's like I am now. He can't deal with this. And on 86th Street, he's like, we're not going to this game. And we get off on 86th Street. And we go back to the other side downtown. And we go back home. And I'm really upset. As it turns out, this is a game they still play on, like, Baseball Classics Network, the Thurman Munson game, because they won it in dramatic fashion, like extra innings. It was like, they still play that game. Yes, it was because Thurman had just died, but it was also a great comeback win. I had tickets. Wasn't at that game.
Because Dad got too hot.
Too
on the
hot.
Subway. Yeah.
And he went home. We went home.
Sweating. It was the end of July.
Yes.
August. I guess it was August.
August 2nd.
Yeah.
But I know the feeling of what that feels like. To be like, I can't do this. I can relate to what he did. But we didn't go to that game. Anyway.
The mustache era of Yankees.
That's right. That's right.
You had your Ron Guidry's, your...
Yes.
Yeah.
Sparky Lyle.
Bucky Dent.
Bucky Dent grew a mustache and then shaved it.
Yeah.
God, who had the best ones? Well, we can give it. That's a whole other podcast. Players with mustaches. Ken Phelps in the late 80s.
Rick Cerrone.
Rick, why are you... That's deep, but he had a beard, too. Sometimes a mustache.
I thought he just had the stash.
He had both.
Okay.
He had both.
Okay. All right. All
then
right,
later in Pags, Mike...
Willie
Pagliarello,
Randolph had a mustache?
He did. Mickey Rivers had a mustache. Reggie Jackson had a mustache. Lou Piniella, at one point, had a mustache, but then he shaved.
I don't even remember Lou Piniella's mustache. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we can
Good
Google
call.
That up.
Good but, call.
Yeah, Lou Piniella.
New York, little New York stuff. So, yeah, you're here for another week.
Yeah.
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 Are you playing at all in town?
I'm never playing anywhere ever.
You're never playing anywhere
ever.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Japan, that's all. It's all a ruse.
Except Japan.
Right. You have to fly to Japan.
Yeah.
To see.
To play.
Do you get offers from people?
And you, what you, kind of offers?
You know what I mean. And, you're just like, oh no, I can't do it.
I really think I'm at the point. At least I'll tell myself this.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell myself that people might want to call me. And you're to blame, by the way, because I come out, it's a confessional every time I'm on your podcast, and I definitely must put the vibe out that I don't want to work with anybody.
I think you do.
Okay, you think I do. And therefore, I think, let's hope it's a sign of respect that they don't even bother asking me,
right.
Rather than the other thing of, oh, they just don't want me anyway.
Right.
Which, guess what? I think there's got to be a little of that.
It's a little bit like what they always say, like the really, really smoking hot chick in school, and they go, she didn't go to the prom because no one asked her. They just assumed.
I'd like to think I'm on that level. But
oh, yeah. Somebody already asked her. She's already got, she wouldn't
yeah,
go with
he
me.
He wouldn't want to do this.
Right.
Let's
right.
hope so, but I do think if
like
I'm,
how lonely the very pretty girl, that thing, you know what
we've
I'm
heard it all the time.
Because no one ever had the stones
if
to
you
go
will.
Up to her
if
and
you
ask
will.
Her. Is this what... Are you the very lonely pretty girl, Zach?
I would love to think so.
They're just not even asking.
I would love to think so, but I think it's probably not that...
But could they just ask? Is it that simple? Just ask.
And once in a while they do.
Once in a while.
But I truly...
I'm still waiting for you to take a pop gig. I want to see you take a pop gig.
You know what?
Could that happen?
Let's go on the record.
Yeah.
I feel that in the next 5 years, mm-hmm. I'm going to either get offered or take... A gig that's going to satisfy what you just asked.
I want to see that.
I just think some weird thing is going to happen. It's going to happen.
I want to see it. I'm putting it out to the universe.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And again, like the right apartment or the right car, the right situation, I will say yes to. But that's different from saying, oh, my goal in life is to be this type of musician, to do that. No. I'm fine taking my path. But you show me the right offer... And I probably won't refuse it.
Right. Could you do a hip-hop thing? Could it be...
I'd like to.
That could be interesting for you.
I'd like to.
Something like that could be interesting.
Sure.
A Harry Styles gig, which that could be interesting for you.
Potentially.
This kind of thing.
Potentially.
Now, a Taylor Swift, I don't know. Maybe you could.
I doubt I'll get that call.
But something like that. That could be interesting, too.
I see it being a little more in the whatever soon to be would be...
Duvet. This guy's
yes,
working on a duvet.
Yes, but he isn't augmenting it with those other pieces of the look that we need.
No, it's not a tucked-in shirt.
And it would be a duvet if it did. Or no. There are going to be people who are not in the Paul Simon, mm-hmm. James Taylor bracket yet. In terms of them being elder statesmen yet. But maybe in 5 to 10 years, they will then enter that zone.
Does John Mayer enter that in 5 years, or does he need
maybe,
more time?
Right, maybe in 5 to 10 years,
does
right?
He enters that zone?
Could, right?
I think
could.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, maybe I get one of those type of things when they're in that zone and they're just like, I don't want the bullshit. I want a tried and true musician who can play to the click and not blame it on the sun being in his eyes. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's more because a lot of the people that I'm buddies with and work with tend to do those gigs, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And
you're surrounded by
I'm surrounded by it. And I just think one of these days the people who really, really want to do those gigs, they're all gonna have other gigs. And I'm gonna be left as that like last person there who is in that bracket of those guys but doesn't have one of those gigs. And maybe he'll be like, Zach, you wouldn't want to do this, would you? And I'd be like, are you on it?
Yeah.
Europe for 3 weeks and then Japan and Korea and this? And yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I think that can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I just saw that. Did I see this correctly? Is Lewis Cole playing Korea? Did I see
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, you saw something in the feed.
That's real?
Well, Lewis Cole plays everywhere. Yeah.
I didn't know he plays Korea.
He plays everywhere.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
And deservedly so.
Wild.
But have you ever had him on the podcast?
Never. You tried to set that up, by the way. I'll
did
remind
I really?
You. Yes, you did. You gave me... This is back in the day. Don't forget, this show's 11 years old. This goes way back. And you said... You didn't recommend anyone. And you said to me, I think you should get this guy Lewis Cole.
Oh, wow.
And I'll say it. I guess I don't care. He wanted his cousin on.
That's strange.
With him, I
That's
believe.
Interesting.
He didn't want to do it alone.
That's interesting.
He wanted to do it with his cousin, something like that.
Was his cousin a piano player or?
It's something.
I
interesting. And I just said, no, I don't do that. Like, yeah. I want you. It's one at a time, and then he just, that was it.
Wow, okay.
And I think so. I think there was some offense taken.
I don't know. And I feel like...
And now, of course, he's too big to come on.
Well, I can only ask again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that was, I think, the one guy... No, actually... You've recommended
come on,
since.
Come on,
You have. You've been good about that.
I've tried.
No, you have. You've been good. But like you said, most of the guys you play with end up playing with all these other people.
Right.
I just thought...
Tim LaFay was out with a very big Italian artist with Gary Novak.
But that's a lane to do the whole European
sure.
guy thing. A lot of guys do that.
They
shit.
Do that. But I, like, in other words, I can see something like that. Something I'm not aware of. It'd be like, well, it's your boy on this gig, you know, we got Babco, we got whatever. And I was like, you know what? Yeah.
Handsomely paid.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
And the handsomely paid thing is great, don't get me wrong. Why wouldn't someone want to get paid? But for me it's more about what's the day to day gonna feel like. Like the music would have to be beyond tolerable, obviously. But it's more like, oh, Jeff Babco's the keyboard player. We're going to be going to Barcelona, and the next day we're going to be going to Stockholm, and we're going to our coffee shops, Jeff and I. We're joking around. We're playing great music. I have a drum sound dialed in every night. I don't have to worry about setting up my own lights and production. Yep. And it's just, why not? It's fun and easy. Now, I will go on the record and say at this moment in my life, I'm not ready just for fun and easy.
You don't like that, I know.
I want fun and easy of my own gigs, but I would rather take not fun and difficult right now with my own gig than fun and easy with someone else and well-paid with someone else. I'd rather take the exact opposite for now. The goal in life is to have your gig be the fun and easy and well-paid gig. That's what I really want.
Yeah.
But right now it's not that, so I'll live that in the difficult... It's what I put my body through for my own gig like that, it's not healthy. But what's the solution if I want to keep doing that?
Yeah.
And if you have a solution for me, let me know. Not you. When I say you, I'm referring to all four people who are listening to this podcast.
Totally. But but do you know anyone else who's even doing anything remotely close to what you're doing as far as the trig? What do we call that? Is it trig? I mean, I'm like an old boomer guy. I don't know the terminology. What do you call that? What do we call it?
I don't have a name for
what
it.
What is the genre called?
I don't have a name for it. I basically
manipulate video
through an audio and can play melodic ideas, harmonic and melodic ideas, and visual melodic and harmonic ideas through the drum set electronically through pieces of software that I've merged together and jerry-rigged.
Couldn't there be a word you can come up with that can just sum all that up and it can just like coin it?
Yeah.
And you can be that guy too. You coined the term. So it's just an umbrella word that covers that. Can we?
Yeah, destined for failure.
Thank you.
That's the style.
You've established destined for failure.
Yes.
Have you seen other guys on YouTube? Has anyone ever said, hey man, check this guy out? He's doing what you do.
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Is it one guy, two guys, three guys? I mean,
I'm sure it's probably 100 guys worldwide. I've probably seen in my lifetime since I started. I've probably seen maybe 5 that someone says, check this out, check this out, check this out.
And these are people, okay, so your friends think they're doing what you're doing, essentially, right? That's what they think.
If I'm being honest, my friends are like, no, look at what this guy's doing that is a kind of a paler version of what you got. And now I don't look at it and go, I don't like it, I enjoy it, but I don't think I've seen anybody who's doing, I've seen somebody do stuff where, oh, the kick drum is... is tied to a bass, a synth bass. So every time he hits the kick, you get a bass note. I've seen some guys trigger samples that have melodic ideas on them, and they're samples. Like, I know a lot of what I'm hearing because I'm familiar with. I don't always know what somebody's doing. You know what I mean? But I can sometimes spot, no, he's doing that and not this, you know. I've never seen anybody who's combined. And then you'll see many people playing along to spoken word.
Yes.
But unmanipulated, meaning
yes.
If we take our podcast right now, someone would learn the cadence of our thing, yes, and play to it.
The drum solo to the...
to the phrase, right?
Right.
And that's incredible to me. I love it. But the combination of all the... I'm not just doing one thing. I'm doing about six things, probably. And I can tell you right now, I have not, doesn't mean it's not there, but I've not seen anybody do the six things combined.
No.
I'm pretty sure that there isn't anyone yet. I do get people, you know, telling me that they're working on stuff like this. And believe me, I've said this before, people are going to surpass this 10 times over if they haven't already. But still to this day, I haven't seen the same recipe of this yet. But we will. And it'll be better, maybe.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we've talked about this off the air. I've had discussions where I've even tried to say to you, like, why don't you just charge outrageous amounts of money and teach it?
Because I don't believe in that. We'll never be at the finish line in life, right? But I want to feel like I've solidified. Yeah, if I'm being quite frank, I want to solidify that whatever my recipe is mine. Now, you can do whatever you want with it, right? But the slippery slope can be, okay, not a lot of viewers will know what a cronut is, but this guy Dominique Ancel, French bakery, I think it's a garbage item, I don't think it's that great, whatever, not garbage, but not great. Created something that was a croissant meets a donut and called it the cronut. And maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was all the rage. People would wait outside 3 hours and they would be deprived. We're all out of cronuts, folks, you know.
West
Come
Village,
back tomorrow.
Right?
West Village, you're right, Soho. No cronuts today. They've knocked that off on many levels. They've called something like a donut, like a donut and a croissant. You know, they've made their own. But anyone who knows the cronut was the industry standard. It was the one. He created the cronut. And anything off of that is, all right, you're copying the cronut. I just feel in life that if you really did work your ass off to create something that... It's hard to create something original. And I steal from everybody. And I still do and always will. I steal ingredients. I don't steal complete recipes. You with me?
Yeah, I am, but go ahead.
I steal ingredients.
But who did you steal from as far as that, then? Stealing from? I don't understand.
I'm talking drumming. I'm not talking stealing from video.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I steal from everybody. I don't play one original thing on the drums to me. I don't.
Who are still your guys to this day? Who are your guys that you still think of? Who are you referring? Who are you quoting?
Okay. Like, I'm quoting all my contemporaries that I'm friends with, just because when you're friends with them, it's like you and I, if we're talking, we have similar lingo now because we just vibe off of each other, and like when you date somebody,
sure,
you learn each other's manner.
Sure,
owner looks like a
sure
dog all the
right,
way.
Right, right,
you know,
right,
so
right,
like my contemporaries who I idolize, you know, the usual suspects. And if I'm failing to mention names, it's just because I'm too nervous to remember them all. But the immediates, the Mark Julianas of the world, the Lewis Coles, the Nate Woods, I mean, just and Josh Dion, everybody. I love Dana Hawkins, who I might have spoken about. I love them all. Mike Mitchell, I watch. I go, everybody. Every time I watch Ronald Brunner to this minute. Incredible. Every time.
The Floyd Mayweather of the drum world.
And then some, maybe. But Dan Weiss, just forget it. You know, and for the 42 others that I rank right up there, I'm sorry I forgot the name.
Right.
Not forgot. Sorry, I'm not mentioning.
Sure.
But like, man.
But just out of curiosity, you see a lot of those guys, and you think they're original.
I see a lot of those guys, and I know them so well, and I've known them for so long. I know the path that they got to being original. Nobody starts off original.
You're always quoting someone else initially.
Maybe,
playing along to.
You know what?
Copying styles of.
In 1998, I was doing drum and bass. Me and Jojo May were playing drum. Jojo, I thought, always did it better than I did. But then there was another band that had a drummer named Anthony Parks in the late 90s. And I remember watching that and going, man, this guy's good. But if I'm being honest, I will also go, you know what? But, he sounds just like a drum machine. Huh. That seems like, all right, so he sounds like a drum machine, which is great. This guy was so forward-thinking and still is to this minute. And you can go back to 1998 and think you're listening to something tonight that just was played by some guy playing some fresh stuff. He was doing it in 98. And I realized how good he was back then, but I have even more respect now. There's certain players that, to me, can grow on you over time, and certain players stay the same, and certain players wane. And in your opinion of checking something out, I'm not going to talk about the players who I'm like, what was I thinking? You know. But usually that's not the case for me. Anybody who I... If I go back and listen to what I thought I loved at 14 years old and I listen to those same recordings, I still love them. I don't know if it's nostalgia or I still love it, but whatever it is, I still love it. But Danny Parks is someone who I grew even more appreciative of over the years. As time progressed and you see people still barely playing as good as him, but whether they even know who he is or not, kind of sounding like him. And not even as good, and he did it 25 years ago. That name just jumps out to me. You know, like, Lewis Cole was very into Keith Carlock. All right, there you go. Keith Carlock, to me, wherever he borrowed his stuff from, all right, wherever he borrowed it from. And he took a, I think I told you another part, he took a lesson with me when he was right out of North Texas. He had the whole Wayne Krantz album that I played on transcribed, and he can play it back to me note for note.
Two Drink Minimum.
No, Long to Be Loose, I think it was even before that, 1993. And he played it back better than I ever played. I was like, Jesus Christ, you know. And eventually got the gig. He sounds nothing like what I played like on Long to Be Loose in the best possible way.
Because it's funny that you're saying he played it better than you.
He did.
That's
he did.
Funny to me. Okay.
Played it better.
Okay.
And he played in Wayne's band better than I've ever played in that band. And he might say, yeah, I was influenced by what Zach played. I know Nate Wood has been on many podcasts and talked. I learned a lot from the way Zach played with Wayne Krantz. Hey, man, well, if you learned a lot, you certainly forgot a lot in the best possible way. You got rid of all the shit I hated about the way I played. And you kept whatever, if there was any good stuff, you kept that and you made it your own. And nobody's original out of the gate. And then I say maybe Dan, you know, some people kind of are, okay? But, like, a lot need to turn into who they are, right? But, yeah, like, those guys I still listen to. I'm one of those people who will get in an Instagram feed some new drummers, and I can't even remember all the names, but I swear I just stop and I repeat and I replay and I replay. I'm like, yep, another one who I just wish I could play half as well as this. I think, it's a bold statement, I actually think, and I'm proud of this, don't get me wrong, because it means you're not an old fogey and you're not stuck in the past and you're not reluctant to change and to evolution of things, right? I think amongst my circle of friends, I like more of like just the young talent I see on Instagram. Not that my friends don't, but I seem to really revel in it and be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I just love it.
Do you reach out to them?
No, because I feel like they would be like, who the hell is this old guy?
Come on.
I do. I seriously do.
But you had guys reach out to you, right? You had old guys.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. But you've returned the favor. You have.
Did I?
No, I'm asking. You have done it, right? You have reached out to guys? You're just saying now you really don't?
And only because I feel like are they going to even write back?
Really?
Yeah. So I need to get myself to be more in the spotlight so that they'll at least return my text when I go, man, you're fucking great. When I put the three emoji fire signs, I want to get a response. I want to get a like to that emoji. I want the prayer hands to as a reply to my three fire signs. You know?
You know, this episode, we're going to post it on the Instagram, and then they're going to come in with the fire signs and the prayer hands. You know it, right?
Yeah, the raise the roof, that whole thing, the hallelujahs.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
They're doing it right now as they hear it.
This will be a victory if there's not. And I challenge you folks, we got no emojis in any of the responses to this podcast. Ooh, zero.
No, that can't happen.
It's going to.
Because they're gonna do it as soon as it's posted. And they won't even. And then they have to go back and delete it. They have to delete.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it.
They Screenshots.
Yeah, give me some originality, my friend.
I'm going to screenshot because in case you delete it.
Right, and you know what else?
I got you.
You got me. And I appreciate you.
I'm talking to the person who thinks they're going to delete. I got you. Yeah. I screenshot it.
I'd be very cool. You know what would be ultra hip to me? What if you had a fire emoji, but literally it was so obvious, right, that you drew it yourself. It's your own homemade fire emoji. I applaud that. Because that's original. Right. It's not the fire emoji I don't like. It's the unoriginal nature of why that's there, and you went for it, you reached for it. Mm-hmm. That's what I have the problem with. Because you know, maybe just me, I've always wanted for someone, you know, when I'm long gone, I want them to go, man, never going to find another Zach.
You made me think of your tombstone. That, you know, this whole thing of what's on your thing, and everyone wants to be cute with some statement. We know what's on yours. Fire and the prayer
hands. R.I.P.
That's it. That's what's on your tombstone. Zach Danziger and the fire.
And you can do that once I'm gone.
The emojis.
Yes. Once I'm gone. Emoji away. But I just think it's, you know, when people pass, you realize that... However anyone wants to live their life is up to them, and there's different strokes for different folks, as they say, right?
Right.
So for every stance I have, there's someone who's going, what's wrong with just being status quo? And there's nothing wrong with it for anybody else. But for me, I've just never been that way, right? You know, and it's just great that, like, not to be morbid, but, you know, some people pass and you'll hear, like, just tepid stories about them on Facebook, and other people will pass and it's just one after the other. And I think that's like a cooler life, personally, you know, and it's just like, man, have I got, like, when you really have these things that were so
unique. And so just stories.
And he would do that in the hotel room. He didn't like the air conditioner, so he piped in his own, like, that's the spice of life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Rather than, like, he was always well-behaved and nothing bothered him or rattled him. All right, great. That's great, too.
Right.
One's not better than the other, but just the way I like to make it happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not someone that they'd say, I did drugs with him, I did threesomes with him, and I never got to know him. And that's the most you can say about a guy. I've heard this about certain people, by the way. Yeah. I have heard this. I've heard that exact description.
How about this? I cringe. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
There you go.
If that's not buffered with, but you know, you need some spice.
Well, that's
one of the nicest guys you've ever met.
Well, that's
the dating class.
I was just gonna say, she's so nice.
Or he's so nice.
Well,
he was such a nice guy.
Either way, she's so sweet. Oh.
But it's worse when a
large Marge. Know what I mean?
Well,
but
when a woman says that about a guy, I think it cuts deeper.
It's the worst. No, don't.
And we're not being sexist, but I think it holds even
that's
more
not
weight.
That's not sexist at all.
It's just like, oh, he's such a nice guy.
If a girl calls you a nice guy, it's over, pal.
I mean, it leads with that, and it begins and ends with that.
Yes. And by the way, if your wife is like, you are just so nice, it's like, dude, just kick her to the curb now.
She'll kick you to the curb.
Right. I'm saying before she does. But
let me amend that by saying I do think I am one of the nicer guys you meet, if I may say so myself.
That's
not
true.
In the way that someone goes, he's such a nice guy.
No, you're just enough of a prick. That's the thing.
You got to pepper in some
you're
of that.
You're just enough where it's like you don't take advantage. Know what I mean?
It's just, you know.
Have
your lane.
No, there's other guys. Trust me. You know that too. There's plenty of nice guys in this business.
Yes.
Yeah. Do they get far?
Sometimes.
No, I know. I'm joking because we talked about this earlier. I said the biggest guys, in my experience, they're really actually very sweet, very nice. They are.
Right.
They are.
But if the calling card, what a nice guy. People who are nice guys, you don't need to say that about them. That's implicit.
Well, no. I think worse than that is the guy who tells you.
Like I just did.
That's the guy you got to watch out for.
Right.
The guy who's like, I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy, you know? I'm a good guy. Watch out for that guy.
True.
No, that's the one.
See, you said it three times there. I only said it once, so I'm safe, right?
Well, I'm very dangerous. That's my point.
Oh, okay.
If you listen to me...
Okay.
You know.
No, I'm with you.
Talk to me about... recording, just in a general sense.
Mm.
You like to record.
Oh, yeah.
But about a producer. How about being that?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever considered going down that route for a minute? Just being a producer.
I have thought about it, but I've done production for some projects that I've been one of the leaders of. or played in the band of.
That's what I was saying. I meant just as a producer.
Don't play the drums, you're producing.
Right. Does that,
okay.
Does that interest you at all?
It interests me, but I, again, this is how I feel, and I tell this to a lot of people. There have been more people who wanted me to mix their record or master it or produce it or something, as there have been people who've called me to play drums in the last, like, 10, 15 years. And what I tell them is this. I can, and I might have, I don't know if I've said it before on one of the 14 podcasts I've been on with you, but, and I really mean this. If I, and I, with the bands like Mr. Barrington and a lot of the music that I make for any of the current stuff, and I had an album project with a band with Uri Kane and Tim LaFave, it's called Bedrock. We made 3 albums. I did most of the mixing of those. Mr. Barrington, I did the mixing and the mastering. And looking back on some of the, on both, on the mixing and the mastering on the Barrington albums, there's a lot that I like the sound of, and there's a lot that immediately I hear something, immediately. And I don't want to implicate myself, but just like, if only I knew now, you know, I would not have done A, B, or C, okay? I believe that I am no expert at this, right? So I don't want to fuck somebody's album up by using a mastering compressor and I've overloaded it to the point where there's a shrill something that came out because I didn't know how to tame the high end before I did it. I can't do that to somebody, especially if they go, if they know less than me, they're like, this sounds great, because they're hearing it on my studio speakers, but my studio isn't tuned right, and you don't notice that there's a low-end rumble, that once you go in a car or in a place that has a subwoofer, you're being overloaded, and I just missed it. I can't live with the, I can't know that I'll do a satisfactory job on the level I'd like to yet.
Okay.
I can make the mistakes for myself, because if I fuck it up, I go, oh, well, I fucked it up, but it's only me who can get mad at me. I don't want anybody else going, you fucked up our album.
But this sounds like you're talking more about, like you said, mixing and mastering.
Yes.
I'm talking about just being a producer. Suppose you weren't right. Handling... I mean, I guess technically, yeah, I know you're a producer, you're involved in the mixing. I understand that.
No, I produce. You mean like either organizing certain musicians for it or deciding that song I don't think is going to fit you.
You're like, hey, Lewis Cole, whoever. You know,
right,
just,
well, I feel he like, does his own stuff.
I know, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like you see a guy and you go, hey, man, I like your thing. You're a young guy and I'm like, let me help you. I want to produce. Could you see that happening? Could you see that this in your future?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You're just producer.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
The right artist.
Yeah.
So the right artist meaning the right artist that both I'd be into, but also that I think would really think that I could do a good job for them and understood what I do and wants me to be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at more of a, could you be the guy who sells yourself? Could you be the guy who approaches?
And you're oh, the, I see.
You're
yeah,
that
but
guy.
Not before they.
You're
hurt
the elder you. Statesman who comes to the and you're like, "Hey, man,
I'll produce your album."
That's right. You're the you're taking that role. You're Chick Corea. Come to my house for dinner. You know what I mean? You're that.
Don't
guy.
Bring me Godiva, but yeah.
And you're like, me. I want to talk to you about my religion. I believe it. You know
right,
I mean?
The religion of no fire emojis.
You got it.
Yeah.
Are you open to that, kid? You know, and he's like, oh,
yeah. I'm not quite there yet to approach. If somebody called me and said, "Hey, man, there's this project. It sounds very much like ABC. It's right up your alley. I think you should produce this album." If a guy from a label who I knew, oh yeah, I'm into that.
You are?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Because yeah. I could see it.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Like an interesting lane for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Are you still considering your own show?
Yes.
You are? Good.
When you say show?
That could be many things, I know. That's why I'm kind of leaving it. I'm not going to quite define that.
Yeah, I mean...
Could be a podcast.
I'm not going to step on you, but
yeah, no, please.
No, that'd be encroachment.
I don't think it would be because I don't think it would be anything close
no,
to what
true.
You would have be your own thing, wouldn't it?
Well, sometimes the hardest thing is the blueprint. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And once you have a blueprint, then it's just like you can insert and it becomes its thing. But like the you know the framework is there for something. If I get a good framework for whether it's a show or a pod, whatever, but I want the framework to be like pretty. Ironclad in my own head that it kind of just rolls and it's like I could do something where it's maybe educational with music and drumming or under the hood of what I do and there could be a segment of that. There could be a part where I haven't seen like the latest in what streaming could produce, so like interactive where you only get 30 minutes of this a week and it's a live call-in write-in show in the moment where I can do something for you in real time.
Yes.
But whatever the blueprint will be, if I have a blueprint and I have the production aesthetic right, as we speak a lot, with all due respect, I'm not going to do it on a Zoom recorder. Just letting you know now. And I do endorse Zoom products. I have Zoom products. They're amazing. But it'll be more than just a Zoom product.
This is my shtick, by the way.
Your act, yeah. And it's a good one. But yeah, if I get the blueprint there, and even if it's like a weird thing, like how the cameras look, how the studio space look, whatever it is, get that blueprint. I'd be quick to actually crank out a few shows.
And it could also obviously be a thing where this could be an episode where we're doing coffee, and it could be an episode where we're doing the New York Knicks kind of vibe.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Correct. It could be all that kind of vibe. The vibe. You're checking your thing.
No, I'm checking nothing.
Okay. You got to watch. You got the watch thing going. I know. You can say that. This episode's brought to you by
an Apple Watch. I tried to be discreet with it.
Yeah, I caught it. I mean, you know.
Of course you caught it. I'm looking at my watch.
I'm like a teacher in class. I know what you're looking
at. There's things coming in, man.
Don't make me confiscate the watch. I mean, come on. But no, listen. Yeah. We're going to be on. We're going to have to wrap this up soon.
No, why?
You having fun?
No.
Are you enjoying yourself? No.
No, but we don't have to wrap it up. You're going to the Yankee game. You have to wrap it up.
That's a little late.
You have to wrap it up. I mean, what more really can we talk about here? Right? Come on.
I don't know. Now I kind of wish this was live.
And we could
say, let's go to
go to the Duvet tape?
Yeah, like Larry King, you know? Canton, Ohio. You're on the air.
Oh, that?
Yeah. I want that.
And the guy going, hey, I have a duvet. What's your problem, man?
Right.
Like, no problem with
it. Why are you fat shaming Zach Danziger? No, I'm not.
And it's not about the overweightness of it.
I know, back to that, yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be politically correct.
Yeah, but you can't be skinny and have the duvet look.
No, that's an impossibility.
Right.
But being fat doesn't guarantee you the duvet look. There's other measures that need to be taken. Other things in life. It's like you can make fun of someone because they have a crazy mullet hairdo.
Right.
It's not like they couldn't have cut it. They chose that. You choose the duvet look. You do need to bring something to the table, and that is a gut, my man.
Yeah, you
need to bring that to the table, but that doesn't guarantee you a duvet look.
Right.
There are poor decisions that need to be made in tandem with being a little overweight there, or very overweight.
Poor decisions.
It's a poor decision.
It's poor life choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And by the way, I was apparently back to Smith and Malinsky. This guy who's now the manager.
Yes.
Who was
I remembered you.
I waited tables with him. He said twice that I was the first guy he ever knew with a cell phone. That's how he remembered.
That's amazing.
And he said, I thought you were a drug dealer.
And how did what? Do you remember why you had a cell phone that early?
I don't even remember what he's talking about. Oh. As far as like.
But that was what had stuck with him.
That's
the tattoos and the cell phone.
That I was the first guy he knew to have a cell phone.
And that's impressive.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I really don't.
I'm impressed by that. I had a cell phone in the early 90s because when I first moved to L.A., I was 19 years old. And my mom thought it would be safer for me to be 3,000 miles away and driving as a new driver in California. Thought it would be safer if at any time she needed to call me, she could reach me on my very expensive cell phone.
Was
in
it
their
the big one?
No, it wasn't that one. It wasn't the Motorola or the thing that was in
Michael Douglas on the beach in Wall Street, that thing, right?
No, it was actually not much bigger than the current iPhone. I mean, it wasn't a smartphone.
It was the Motorola?
It was a Diamondtel Mitsubishi, I want to say 99X if I'm...
Wow.
Let's see if I'm...
No, don't do it. No, because no phones are allowed on this show.
Oh, you have no phone.
No, I don't like guys getting on their phone. Because guys will say, like, oh, what's his name? And they go to pick up the phone. I go, no.
20 minutes later, you're still...
No, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You have to be...
No, you have your rules.
Yeah, it's a stutter.
Yeah.
You know, there's no phones here. We're not doing phones.
No, we're not, right?
We don't do Zooms.
We don't do Zooms. Not yet, anyway. You'll see.
You'll see. I'll come around.
Give a 10-camera shoot next year, right?
You'll come live
from Nashville with 10 cameras.
Right, you'll come around, guy. You'll come around.
Yeah.
When are you going to go to Nashville? I know you spent time
in
Nashville.
When am I going to go, like, what, that's going to, like...
Could you handle the Nashville number system?
Oh, like the chart reading?
Yeah, we threw you in tomorrow.
I wouldn't know anything about it. I could probably figure it out in 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a kind of pop gig that could be interesting for you, right? Playing some country.
Garth Brooks?
Yeah. Like, you could play on a country song. That would be fun.
If I were to say no way, then I limit my choices, but I don't see that.
Why not? Be the next Larry London. Get some Hawaiian shirts on you and...
I don't see. The next Larry London means I would have not been alive by now, if we're being real. No, that's sad. He was such a great musician.
Did you ever get to meet him?
No, he was a good drummer.
At a thing?
No. No, he had, because he was a Yamaha guy.
Yeah, no, I figured.
He did some clinics, yeah. Never got to meet
him. And you never saw him at any of these
things? No, I don't believe so.
Interesting. Okay. No. Were there any really legends that you didn't get to meet when you were a kid that you looked up to?
I wanted to meet.
Legends, I'm talking about. Guys you looked up to, and you just never got to meet them? Can you think of
Tony anyone? Williams?
There you go. That's a name.
I mean, I'm not saying Tony Williams because he's a legend. No, he's a quarterback. Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah.
That happened.
I never met him. If I did, it was like, hey, Tony, you know, but like it was just one of a thousand fans. Like,
well, were you ever, you were in the same room with him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got to see him play several times.
Right.
No, never met him. Like, someone like, my idols were, you know, when I got to meet Vinnie Colaiuta as a kid, I met him. I wasn't just like, hey, you know, I met him. Yeah, I never met, maybe I shook hands with Elvin Jones, maybe, but never met him. No, all those greats I never met. Roy Haynes, I still, no. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Never met Art Blakey, never met any of those. I saw Buddy Rich, never met Buddy Rich. Now, maybe I haven't met people like Steve Jordan.
You never met Steve Jordan?
I don't think I've met Steve Jordan.
Interesting.
No, I don't think so. I'm just thinking of like guys that I've grown up listening to or still around. I'm getting a revving engine. Here he goes. And a Midas muffler. Okay. There we go. That could be edited out. But anyway, never met Steve Jordan. But a lot of guys I have, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like I got to meet... Never got to meet Jeff Porcaro.
But again, were you around him?
No.
Okay.
I think I might... No, I don't know. I might have... It sounds crazy to forget if you've seen him play. If I saw him play, it was once at the Baked Potato. Years, and I was very, very young. Or I imagine that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But if I did, it was one night around 1990 that I would have gone and seen him play.
Who stands out of guys you've seen? Like when you mentioned you got to see Tony Williams and hear Tony Williams, right? Buddy Rich, things like that. Who stands out to this day? As just
Tony Williams stands out. I was at the Village Vanguard as a young kid. And I remember in a Modern Drum article, Modern Drummer interview years ago, I was, you know how a quote could be taken different ways with inflection? Or you'll say something, and A, you don't realize how it came out. But you didn't mean it like that, but the literalness of the words did come out kind of like that. But you didn't say it for that meaning, and it felt like it was manipulated. And it might have been slightly, but you still kind of said it. And what I said at the time was, I saw Tony Williams at 14 years old, the Village Vanguard. Maybe I've also told you this before, but anyway, it's worth repeating because, I mean, it was incredible. I think it was 1985, I was 14 years old. And Tony Williams was Tony Williams, and everyone was, you know, he was Tony Williams. And just the buildup of everyone who I went with.
This is his thing, by the way?
His band.
Yeah. Okay.
I went with my drum teacher and some other students, and the whole club was just like, Tony is God. And that was the right reaction. And he played. I remember how loud it was, and I thought that was cool. Like, it's like, you think you're going to hear quote-unquote jazz, so you think you're equating jazz with a little more polite, maybe. Oh, no. This was bombastic, and that was cool. But I kind of felt like, in my mind, like, why is everyone thinking this is the greatest thing they've ever heard in his life? I was like, it's good. I didn't think it was that great, whatever. And everyone was so psyched leaving the club, like, oh, I've just seen God, you know, and I'm just like, yeah. You know, I was afraid to like, go, I didn't love it, right? But it was quoted in Modern Drummer a little differently. Like it was quoted as like, I thought he sucked and blah, blah, blah. No, I didn't think he sucked. I just didn't get what people, in my mind, I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't get it. I don't know why. And I was a fan of Tony Williams as a thing.
Yeah.
On that, but like when I saw that, I was like, really? And
you preferred the earlier stuff.
Well, not even. I mean, this is what it was. So because I had such anticipation, I did bring my Sony Walkman and I recorded the gig. I recorded a lot of gigs I would go to when I'd see music on cassette, you know. And I saved the cassette, and years later, I put that back in the cassette player. And that cassette did not leave my tape player for a year. Same exact performance that I was not thinking was the greatest shit I've ever heard.
I understand.
Became one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
I understand.
And I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And so when you say looking back, got me, but I can still remember that. It was nuts, man. Just the sheer, you want to talk originality. Just like the guy's combining jazz, but playing it like 10 times the volume that I'll ever play hard-hitting music. And it works.
Yeah.
So good.
Just way ahead. Too ahead.
Way ahead. And you can watch clips of him now. It's like, you can't watch any clip of me and think anything is far from perfect. Like I can show you 1,000 things wrong with every clip of mine that's ever been seen on YouTube. I can sit you down and go, this is what's wrong here, this is what's wrong here. I watched Tony Williams' clip. I don't hear one, and I'm sure maybe if he was still around, he'd say, oh, no, no, no. But, like, maybe that's just what it is. You know, you look in the mirror and you see your imperfections, and someone else says, no, that's beauty. Maybe. Except not in my case. You know, like, I hear it all. I watch these Tony Williams, and all my favorite drummers, like Mark Juliana and Nate Wood and those guys, when I hear them play, I keep repeating the same names. But everyone I'd named before and plenty more. If I go back and listen to these clips of them, even in their early days, when they're still searching even, I barely hear anything that I'm like, you know, that's a little... No, I'm just like, how do you play so perfectly? And I don't mean perfect like you're a machine. Or, no. Perfectly, whatever perfect means to you. How do you play so perfectly? How are you so poised up there? How is your touch so good? How is your time really good? How is your musicality? I hear myself, and all I hear is everything that I'm still working on not being completed yet.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you think they suffer the same thing?
I'm sure they...
And you've never heard them talk like that?
Maybe I have.
There you go.
But I swear, I bet you if we brought, like, impartial yet astute enough jury, and we put up my favorite Nate Wood clips, and my top, and I say favorite, but the clips of myself... And I explain why I can't stand those. And Nate Wood, if he even didn't like him, explains why he can't stand parts of that. I bet the jury goes, Nate, you're crazy. Zach, I hear everything you're saying. Zach, oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that. That does suck. Yeah. Oh, wow. Really? You don't have a consistency of touch on the back. No, right. You're pointing out. Yeah. Wow, I didn't notice that. But, yeah, you're right. You don't have that. You don't have that. And I'm like, see how Nate has that? Oh, yeah, Nate has that, right. Yeah, Zach, you don't have that. I rest my case.
Wild.
Yeah. One day I hope to get there, I can go, I'm playing the way I want to. You know what I mean? That's all.
Hearing in your head?
Yes, I'm playing like this is what I wanted it to be, and this is what it is. Not this is what it wanted it to be, but here's a good step. In the early days, I'd listen back and not notice so much about what wasn't happening. Now I'm hypercritical. I think that's a better place to be, in a sense, because then you can make the corrections. Because you notice things that need work. I hear it.
You'd rather be hypercritical.
I'd rather be hypercritical because I notice something that could be improved and not notice it. And then you're like, ignorance is bliss, but you're not happening. Because you don't know that you're playing with bad time or bad musicality or your touch is wrong. I'd rather hear that it's bad because then it gives me a chance to correct it.
Were there any missed opportunities when you look back, like gigs you could have had and you think at your age now and you think, God damn it. Damn it, I wish I would got to do that one. And I'm not talking about Chick Corea. We're talking about other gigs that you've never talked about. Offers.
There's one situation that's far from a gig. Like it wasn't a gig about to happen, but I've had situations in life happen, musically otherwise, where you just kind of... It's not go out of your comfort zone, per se, but you go out of a zone that, like, you're going slightly, like, the extra mile for something... Could even be just like, oh, I hear this is an amazing restaurant that's 20 miles further. Let's just go to the pizza place here. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go check that out. And you're like, I'm glad I did. There's one regret. And I don't know if it would have led to anything. But I do think about this, right? There was a gig in New York with a band called Neptunes. And no, it wasn't the Neptunes. But it was Pharrell and Chad Hugo of the Neptunes. And
The Pharrell.
Okay. And they had a band. And I went to see it in New York at this club. And after the show, because they weren't huge at that point, they were doing a meet and greet in the club. And I wanted to just say, hey, You know, and at that point I was doing a lot of movie soundtracks. I think I just played on Ocean's 11. And it was like something that I can say, hey man, I'm a big fan of your stuff. I play drums. I do a bunch of soundtracks. I just love your stuff.
And they had a drummer that night, just to be clear?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I remember there was a line of only like maybe 8 or 10 people just waiting to talk to them. They hadn't come out yet. Not a huge line. And I was with friends. And they didn't have any interest in sticking around to say hi. But I really did. And I decided, maybe I don't wait the 20 minutes till they come out to say hi. And I'll just go out with my friends to get a bite to eat or drinks wherever we were going. I still think about, probably slim to none, probably, but you never know, man, that you go up to them and you just talk. And maybe they're like, hey, man, yeah, they weren't extremely well known.
No.
And maybe they go, oh, all right, yeah, love to hear your stuff one day. Never know, right? I would have liked the chance to have had a conversation.
Huh.
And and that's what I mean by if nothing ever came of it, at least I go, no regrets. But if there's any regret musically in my career, and maybe there's more than I'm not remembering, that's actually one of them, strangely enough. Yeah, even if nothing would have come of it, just to have a conversation and say, hey.
What was it about them? If you can put it into words.
Oh, their production style and was way ahead of their time.
But the live production style.
No. I mean, that too, but also what they had done.
So, in other words, when you say you want to talk to them, it was because you had already heard their stuff and you were going as
a
fan.
Oh, I was a big fan of them.
You were already a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was it in your memory, though, live? What did they have? What was it?
I actually don't remember the live as much as they were just doing stuff from their albums that I enjoyed that. But it was just the precursor to having a lot of albums of stuff that they produced and stuff under their own name.
Think like a Pharrell is ahead of his time? Is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that might sound, maybe everyone's like, duh, yeah, or you don't know what you're talking about. He's a blah, blah, blah copycat. But to me, no, what the Neptunes did as producers turn my head and a lot of other people's heads who weren't even into that genre per se. We're just listening to that and going, That's some other shit.
How many guys were in the Neptunes?
Two.
I know a lot about this. What happened to the other guy? He was
Chad Hugo.
Yeah, what's
Chad Hugo did a lot of the keyboard stuff. I don't know what he's currently doing. I haven't stayed on top. I'm sure he's doing a ton, but it's the tandem of both of those guys.
It's just one of those things where it's like
it's
the
magic.
Two of them together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they split up and they just don't work together.
No, I don't know that either. No,
right.
They might be going strong right now, but
okay.
That would have I would have loved to have. Yeah, stuck around.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's the only one you can think of as far as...
Yes.
Interesting.
It's not like there aren't other people that I would have wanted to work with at different points and never got asked or whatever. It's not that. But that's the one where I can see a tangible what if. A what if. And again, probably nothing happens, but I will tell you in certain musical things over my life and in personal things that have happened throughout my life, it's happened in that moment where you're like, I'll just stick around a little longer, you know what I mean? And go a little further than I'd want to. I'm tired. I don't want to go to this club. You go to that club and you meet somebody. You're like,
yeah.
Great to see you. And then that turns into something. Or someone says, oh, you're looking for a practice space in L.A. Oh, I got a space. Had I not gone to that club, I wouldn't have met the friend of the friend who's given up the practice. It's like those moments where you just go the extra mile.
There's that thing. I mean, I don't know. It's like Woody Allen quote or something. 99% of life is just showing up. You,
correct.
That's what you're saying.
And I often don't show up.
Right.
Exteriorly.
Right.
I show up interiorly with myself. I'm always there for me here. I'm showing up all the time.
I understand.
It's just that extra, let me just, I'll go. I'm tired, but I'll go. And then you hear the next day, oh my God, it was so cool. He was here. I was like, oh, I would have loved to have hung with him that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because things can easily in life, it can be the hardest thing to break through and the easiest thing sometimes. Like, it's just, like you said, showing up, but it's also just like being in a room where that person that you're friends with, that friend, is there that night and you hit it off and you say, yeah, let's trade numbers. And all of a sudden now you're in that ecosystem. And it just doesn't happen by calling your friend and say, could you hook me up with blah, blah, blah? No, it happens by that blah, blah, blah person being in that room and it happening organically without like this force. Could you recommend me to this guy? Oh, no, but that guy's there. Oh, have you met Zach? And then there's the FaceTime aspect of that. Not FaceTime with the phone.
But admit FaceTime. It, too. Like, I mean, that's funny you say that, because I'm sure this has happened more for you. Like you've had guys who hear you, let's say, on I'd Hit That, and then reach out to you, and they're like, hey, man, I agree with you on this. And then you hit it off, right? I mean, has that happened to you?
You know who actually did this? Let's implicate him.
Yeah.
Mr. Jeff Babko.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Now, Jeff Babko knew everybody in the business, working with everybody in the world. We never met.
That's right.
We were going to be doing a Donnie McCaslin gig, I think it was 2012, 2013. And he actually reached out with an email before the gig and said, hey, man, Jeff, we have a lot of... Almost like, I think, almost as if he was a stranger or something. Yeah. Just got to tell you, I listened to the I'd Hit That, and I just resonated, and we have a lot to... I know we have a lot of like the same reference, and I'm thinking like, all right, cool. He was dead on that one, you know, but like,
yeah,
he reached out.
Yeah.
And now we would have maybe met some other way, some other time.
Sure.
Maybe
sure.
even weeks later on that Donnie gig, but
sure.
But let's say there was no Donnie gig and he just did that. That could have opened the world up. And I'm glad that he's a big part of my life still. You know, like, we're very close friends and we do great music. And he's one of the greatest guys I've ever worked with musically, Jeff Babko, on so many levels. Mm-hmm. So many levels. Put him right up there. Like, one of my absolute favorites ever.
Sock
to work
belt,
with.
By the way.
Oh, God, really? Wow. Deep.
I just pulled out Sock Belt.
Deep. That's deep. Right. But Babko. Yeah. So, like, yeah. And I've reached out to people. Like, in my Instagram feed last year, I got something, and this keyboardist in this project was so good. And then I went to his Instagram, and I looked at more, and I'm like, this guy would be perfect for Wednesday Night Titans. And I told Kevin... And I reached out on Instagram. And not only that, we had a mutual acquaintance, and I needed to get that mutual acquaintance involved to put in the word. Because I didn't think, like, perfect example. Like, it might not have been enough, just this, like, cold call on Instagram, cold DM, if you will, on Instagram. Hey, I love your stuff. And eventually we started working together. But I saw something off the internet. I was like, this resonates with me. I got to get in touch with this guy.
And by the way, I just want to clarify, you did a project with Jeff Babko, Sock Belt. I just mentioned it. And I want to throw this out to people. You got the name from like a sign.
Do you remember?
Signage. Somewhere.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
It was like a Chinatown or something, right?
How did you do that?
Yeah.
So in New York City, there was an area that's now,
yeah.
little by little, becoming like destroyed because they're building, you know, high-end stores. It's the Nomad area. It's Broadway between 34th and 23rd. It's this angular street. And it used to be just filled with... like knockoff perfume stores and like cheap jewelry and weird
wholesale.
Exactly. Wholesale shirts, nothing you'd ever want to buy, and weird electronic iPhone chargers in bulk and just weird stuff, right? And me and Jeff met for lunch in that neighborhood. I think we were eating a salad at Sweet Greens, and I pointed, I was like, I walk by here all the time and I can't get enough of this sign. And I pointed up there, and basically it said Sock Belt, but I think it meant to say like socks and belts. Sock Belt. And it also said Hoodie Suite, S-U-I-T-E, not Hoodie Suit.
Right.
Hoodie Suite, and then like said, like shirt, this wholesale only, blah, blah, blah. And it was the signage in what looked like the building that hadn't been occupied in 14 years. Looked like Rat Central up there.
Sock Belt.
Sock Belt. And we looked up there, and I sent him the picture after we ate lunch, and he's like, let's call the project Sock Belt.
Yeah. And I sent to you, I don't remember if I said it to both of you, and it never crossed your mind. I said, but they're both, it's like they're both words for hit. Like sock him in the face.
Yeah, belt him.
Belt him. And you were like, oh, it never dawned on
no,
me.
No, no.
You never thought
no,
of it.
Because the context we saw it in was
that's
not,
what I'm saying.
Not there.
It was, so it, I was like, it was that's actually apparel. Pretty cool.
Sock belt.
Sock belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it gives it a whole different thing.
Yeah, no, that's
you
a
You didn't
pretty,
even see it.
That sounds like a band that actually, if they became famous, you'd be like, that's a cool name.
That's what
and,
I'm right, saying.
And so, sadly, we wasted a good name on a band that's never going to be famous.
But yeah, but you did a whole thing with Gabe Kaplan.
But that wasn't Sock Belt.
Oh.
That was the 9:15 o'clock movie.
Right. At the Blue Whale.
At the Blue Whale, and it's no yes. longer, sadly. Do you know what the Blue Whale Club.
The 9:15
o'clock movie.
That's right, that's right.
You know what the Blue Whale, and we used to say 9:15 o'clock movie, we start at 9:17.
That's right.
Yeah.
Blue Whale, you were saying?
The Blue Whale went out of business during the pandemic. They threatened to close even before the pandemic did them in, right? Do you know what it became? If I can think of the worst business to replace the Blue Whale. You know what that place? It was in a strip mall in Little Tokyo, just to frame it as what might become. What do you think became of it?
I hope not a fire emojis store.
Probably worse.
Go ahead.
An alcoholic bubble tea place.
Ooh.
Not a standard bubble tea. One with spiked with vodka. Ooh. and a gin drink with boba in it, with bubbles. Ooh. And they called it SIP, S-I-P. Alcoholic bubble tea at the site of Sock Belt. How sacrilegious.
At the Blue Whale.
At the Blue Whale. SIP. They're probably not even in business now. How do you survive alcoholic bubble tea?
I'm really getting tired of hearing about who died during the pandemic. Like, as in places.
Right.
You know what
died, yeah.
Like, I mean, not just the people, but the...
No, the places.
The places that were
that
killed off.
That couldn't...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, couldn't sustain.
Like, just F these people, you know?
It's
sorry,
sad.
But that's just...
It's sad. They couldn't hang on.
I know, it's disgusting is what it is.
It's bad. I wish that was still around. That was a good place. Not the greatest acoustics. A little live in there.
55 Bar didn't make it.
Oh, that's sad.
You
that,
know
but
I mean?
That wasn't a pandemic.
No, but it was a thing.
No, but it was probably related to business during the pandemic.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it had
some. It had to be an after effect.
It was some effect, yeah, and that was rough. That place, you know, it was around 100 years, that place.
It's disgusting.
Man. How that could happen. How the guy with the lease could be like, nah, it ain't worth the extra 10 grand a month. I get that, but you know what? You probably could have swung it. You could have made it work, I think. And there's a legacy there that I believe you almost have to uphold. There's too few of those places in the world left. That was one of them that needed to continue. But, oh well. Oh well.
Disgusting.
Anyway, yeah.
Disgusting. I know.
On that disgusting note, where are we here? You can't give people this long of a podcast.
On Thurman Munson night? Do it well, for
maybe on Thurman you could. Number 15.
I mean, good job. I mean, you really do. I didn't even
I was
know
a huge
you knew your baseball. I know you knew your Knicks.
Big baseball.
You don't really follow baseball anymore, though, by the way.
Not as much, but
right.
A little bit. But like right. Someone like Adam Dorn, motion worker, who you've had in your podcast.
Sure.
We would spend time, because I played in his band, and to make these drives home after the gig, sometimes we have 3-4 hour drives from somewhere. We're playing D.C. We're done at 1 a.m. and rather than stay in a hotel, we'll take the 3.5 hour drive. So we have to keep ourselves awake. It's a band full of like 7 of us, but only 3 or 4 of us were really into this era of baseball card collecting in the late 70s, early 80s. So I can almost remember every player on every team from 1978 to 81. And you just say Milwaukee Brewers, and we just go back and forth. We did a thing about just mustaches in the league.
So you've already done, yeah, you're way ahead.
Yeah.
So you were way ahead of this.
Gorman Thomas on the Brewers, or yeah, Rance
Raleigh Moments. Fingers.
Raleigh Fingers, he's got the curlicue.
Yeah, he was a Brewer, wasn't he?
Might not have been a Brewer. He was a Padre, and he was something else, but he might have been a Brewer.
Okay.
But Raleigh Fingers for sure.
Okay.
With the mustache. Yeah, so many people, but we love just talking about old baseball. But Thurman Munson, number 15, for sure.
Yeah.
He was good.
This has been interesting, man, because we established, this has been years in the making. When I saw you, we met at Grand Central outside on Vanderbilt.
This late afternoon, late morning.
Yeah. And you said, like, it's been years. Like,
it has.
Do you remember the last time?
I think we were face-to-face in 2019.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
It's been since then?
Yeah.
That is...
I mean, seeing you, we've spoken a bunch. Not seen you in 4 years.
I can't even accept that. I mean, seriously?
Yeah, because the pandemic started 2020 in February, and I'm pretty sure we haven't seen each other since then. No, because you'd move. No, we weren't in the same town. Or am I missing something? Am I missing something? I'm missing something, right? You came to New York during the pandemic? Like on the tail end?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I know we haven't done this podcast since 2019. I think the last time we actually met up was in that era.
That could be true. It's wild.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
Kind of scary.
Wild, yeah.
I'm a little scared.
There won't be another 4 years.
Let's hope not.
I'll tell you that much.
All right, hold on, because...
Yeah, we got...
It's an idling truck, and I'm not editing it out. I'm just gonna
You're not going to edit it out?
No, why would I do that? Just because I use a Zoom recorder. I mean...
Here we go.
Just pulls away nice and quietly. Just keep it moving, folks. Keep it moving.
All right, we're back.
Oh,
we're back.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I mean, Zach Danziger, folks. Mm. He's back. Number 7, number 8. I don't
even
know.
Who's counting?
I don't know anymore. But it's good to have you back.
Thank you. No, this has been another one of these.
And I hope we are fully booked for the rest of the year as far as...
I hope so, yeah.
Interesting gigs for you.
Yes.
You know, maybe we'll do part 12 in L.A.
That'd be fun. whoa, we got like a thing here. Had a Bobcat Goldthwait sort of cadence to it.
Is that the guy in the van?
I think it is. But I don't know the impetus for it. Wow, in zone.
Someone just asked me, by the way, about the episode with the guy with the bloody nose or something.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We pulled over a street in L.A.
Yeah. But he was wondering, did the guy approach the car?
Like, no.
It's funny how people's memories work, though. Like, that's how he remembered it. And I was that's not what happened.
But we have pictures and video of that.
It was like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, what is this?
He's bleeding.
He's bleeding on a tree leaf. But I think this guy might be on the phone, which is...
See, you were way ahead on the drums. Apparently, I was way ahead on the cell phone. That was.
That's right.
That's exactly it. That's how I'm way ahead.
That's amazing. And by the way, that food was delicious.
This episode is brought to you by Smith & Walensky.
I'll give you that. And really, 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 really good. So.
It is good stuff. I recommend the cheesecake. We didn't have it.
Right. There's an extra touch.
I was telling Zach crazy stories, and when customers would piss people off, I never did this. I swear to you, I promise, I mean it. I never did this.
I believe you.
It's disgusting to me. But plenty of guys did. When customers pissed them off, they licked the cheesecake, and it was called sheening the cheesecake. They'd say to the guy, "Hey, you know what I recommend for you? The cheesecake." And they'd lick that thing, and it was all shiny coming out. Oh yeah, folks, I just want you to understand what can really go on in these restaurants.
I will tell you, right, I always think to
never
myself,
fuck don't, with your
piss,
server.
Don't piss them off.
Never fuck with your server.
They might lick the cheesecake anyway, just because it gets nutty in the kitchen. You never know.
And we both have witnessed guys screaming at the help, as it were.
Yes.
Bad move.
It's already zany enough there. You don't want to make it zanier.
Bad move.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for making time.
Yeah, we did make time. We made good time.
I love it.
Yeah, we did it. We said we were going to do it.
We're finally in time.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, my
friend. No latency.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Talk to you soon.